Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
To go. 6:10 in the morning. Thanks for being with us. It is the Steve Cochran Show. Steve Cochran, a little under the weather. Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow. He's been battling this cold for a couple of weeks now. It's in the air.
I didn't talk to Steve yesterday, but I just know that right now Steve's taking an airborne. He's battling with an orange. He's crushing down just gallons and gallons of orange juice. I believe Steve Cochran will be back tomorrow. I do.
I think so, too. If I was a betting woman, which I am, I would think so, too. By the way, our brackets, are you in the station fake bracket pool for just pride, no money?
Wasn't invited, not in it.
Oh, Andy Mazur?
Not in it, wasn't invited.
Mary, you in it, too?
Oh, the Ryan Burrow bracket?
Yeah. The station pool. We don't want to get anybody in trouble because it's just for pride.
Take it back. Was invited if that's who was running
it. Oh, okay. I was invited to that one, too.
Yep.
I was sucking at first, and now I think I'm in third, which I got lucky because I bonged Duke.
Good job, Audrey. Way to go.
Yeah, and I picked Duke to win the whole thing. Well, I don't think I picked Duke in that pool. I don't know. You know, I have like three brackets going on, so I'm really confused as to where they all are.
Mary does the Kaplan, the David Kaplan. I'm going to have 12 brackets in one contest.
I have to compete with my son. I have to do that bracket, which I am winning, and that's the most important one to me.
Well, let's kick this party off. Top six at six. Let's do it.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
The top six at six on 720 WGN.
Okay, here we go. Did you see any of these contentious hearings yesterday? And I say contentious because they were a little awkward to watch with James Comey on Capitol Hill.
My new favorite guy is Comey.
Really?
Nobody can just sit there and just in the perfect form and look at you forward and give you minimal information.
I second that, my friend. Comey did say publicly for the first time, though, that the FBI has been investigating whether Donald Trump's associates actually coordinated with Russia in an effort to sway the election. This has been going on since last June.
I'm not saying that he did, but I'm saying that he might have and that he could have, and that I'm willing to continue to look at that. But I'm not saying he did, but he could have.
Yeah. Do you think I said that?
Yeah, big question is, why didn't Comey talk about this before the election? Like he did about Hillary Clinton.
That is the $64 gazillion question. Yeah. He was before the House Intelligence Committee in a five-hour bruising session. Comey also said that he has no information that President Obama wiretapped Trump Tower phones during the presidential campaign. So, there's that. Next. Okay, guess who's getting her own office in the West Wing?
Go, go, Ivanka. Go, go, Ivanka. I want to be Ivanka. Is that too weird?
What song is that?
Ivanka Trump getting an office in the White House. She will not have an official title or salary when she works in the West Wing. But she does get access to classified information.
See, what do you think you think Ivanka reads the classified info?
Probably more than her dad.
You know what? I think Steve hit that nail on the head. She says right now her role will be to serve as Donald Trump's eyes and ears while providing a broad ranging array of advice.
Because she has so much experience in that.
And we all know he doesn't like sitting through those daily briefings.
He's going, what daily briefings? No. Next.
I think she's getting paid, by the way. I don't buy this whole no one's getting paid.
Jared's getting paid. She's not, supposedly.
The old Jared's getting paid line. Okay.
But let's ask this. Do they have a joint checking account? I don't know about that.
I feel like no one's going broke in there. That's all I'm saying.
I hear you. Laptops, iPads, cameras, other gear is going to have to be placed in checked luggage on 9 airlines originating from 8 countries. It's a new ban that literally went into effect about 3 hours ago. Homeland Security and TSA, they're not explaining why most carry-on electronics are being barred, your iPad, your phone, your laptop, but the affected nations include Egypt, Jordan, Kuwait, Morocco, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Abu Dhabi, and United Arab Emirates, Dubai,
and,
in the United Arab Emirates.
We have some late-breaking news on that, too, by the way. There is a report now from the Agence France-Presse that this is in response to some sort of threat. According to senior officials, they're quoting unnamed senior officials who say this may be part of some sort of threat involving those electronic devices. No specific threat, though, was mentioned.
Right, and Egypt and Jordan already say, we're not going to do it.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm going positive on this one, Andrea, that I'd like to see more connection on airplanes. So I think that everything should be checked, and I think we should get back to old school, and we should all talk on airplanes and communicate and have a, nice... I mean, on an overseas flight, you should be required to speak at least 2 hours to the person to your left or right.
I could never be on a flight with you. Are you
Me
kidding?
Me neither.
Earbuds and magazines. That's... Jeez.
I want to get to know
you. Carmen, I love you, but I don't want to talk to you on a plane.
Come on, let's have a little Bloody Mary. You don't even have to, you could just go with the tomato juice and let's have a peanut.
If you're buying, I'm drinking.
There we go.
All right, here's a little bit of good news and bad news. Good news first. Crime is down so far in Chicago this, not homicides, but other violent crimes, robberies, car burglaries, the like, except there's been a huge string of violent robberies in Uptown and Lincoln Square. That's your hood.
I work in Uptown. I live in Lincoln Square. The Lincoln Square one particularly is surprising. I mean, that, you know, reading where it's going on is a block from me, and I, like, consider that part of the city, like, the safest spot going.
Yeah.
So it's, but, you know, you're in the city, right? You're always paying attention. At least you should be.
Be on the lookout. Two of those robberies took place on March 7th, 2700 block of West Lawrence, 4500 block of Magnolia, and these are violent robberies. This isn't just a give-me-your-cell-phone thing. Once they get what they want, they work in groups. They start punching and kicking the victims, knocking them to the ground. Male offenders between the ages of 16 and 25 years old. So be alert and be careful out there.
It's right next to Goosefoot, which is like a $200 a plate.
God, we actually had a remote there a couple of years ago. It was great. All right, so Tom Brady, they found the jersey. It was in possession of a member of the international media.
Who didn't know it was the media?
Well, of course, it's the media.
Fake news.
But this investigation went a lot quicker than some other ones here in this country.
That's true. I mean, they were on the hunt for this thing, right?
And they got video. Don't they have video of the guy, like, either walking out with it in the duffel bag? You can see it hanging out of the duffel bag.
He actually put it in his shirt.
Is that what he did?
Yeah.
You're going to steal something. You know, okay, I'm not going to.
Would the wall have stopped this?
And, of course, Dancing with the Stars. We'll delve into that a little bit later on, too. David Ross and Mr. T making their debut. I love Mr. T. I love him. He's going to be in studio with us soon. At some point.
Really?
Someday soon, hopefully. Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Didn't dance so well, though. Mm. That's your top six.
Oh, come on. He was great.
Come on.
I loved his choice of music.
I love Mr. T, man. Great body, but...
And they even brought in the van.
Works out. Yeah, the A-team van. Yeah, we'll talk about that throughout the morning.
The Steve Cochran Show.
I have been authorized by the Department of Justice to confirm that the FBI, as part of our counterintelligence mission, is investigating the Russian government's efforts to interfere in the 2016 presidential election. And that includes investigating the nature of any links between individuals associated with the Trump campaign and the Russian government, and whether there was any coordination between the campaign and Russia's efforts.
It's 6:23 in the morning, 720 WGN. That's FBI Director James Comey going before the House Intelligence Committee yesterday. Not a very good day for the Trump administration. They said that not only was the FBI investigating Russian interference in the campaign, but they also dropped a pretty big bombshell, Mark. FBI agents now probing potential coordination between the Trump campaign and the Russian government. As we said in the top six, that's been going on since last summer.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is exactly what everybody thought was going to happen yesterday. Nobody believed that Obama wiretapped Trump. Even, like, I think the hardest, most diehard Trump supporters probably didn't believe that. And everybody, I think, thought that they were going to investigate what's going on with Russia. So, to me, it wasn't really any huge surprise yesterday, but it is...
It's out there now.
It's nice that it's moving forward.
Absolutely. Again, no wiretapping of Trump Tower by President Obama or anybody else. We should say that, too. Comey's statement said, with respect to the president's tweets about alleged wiretapping directed at him by the prior administration, I have no information that supports those tweets, and we have looked carefully inside the FBI. And the FBI and the CIA, they have this kind of headbutting going back and forth for decades and decades and decades, and they actually have come together on this and said, there's no evidence. There's nothing there to even show that.
There's just the huge protocol of how that would have to go on and the paper trail that would exist. And I think that, like, from like Donald's standpoint, it's like, just do it. There wouldn't be anything. If I was doing, you know, you just would just somehow get it done. I don't know, in his own way.
And for the conspiracy theorists out there, no president has the authority to order a wiretap.
Right.
You have to get a warrant from a whole panel of judges, a special panel, actually, of judges. So that didn't happen. They also rejected the possibility. Remember, they said that Britain was involved, and that sent Theresa May into a tailspin, too, which it should have, that rejecting the possibility that British spies had eavesdropped on Trump Tower at Obama's request. Again, and this is where Sean Spicer, I think, is going to find himself in a lot of trouble, too, because he's the one who kept persisting and persisting. Yes, this actually happened. It did not.
Right, and Steve says this all the time, that, listen, I mean, Sean Spicer, like him or don't like him, you got to acknowledge just the position that he's in. He has to be there and support the guy. I mean, that's his role. What a brutal role.
Yeah, and you have two hearings going on essentially at the same time. You're talking about Russia, and then you're talking about wiretapping. So two huge, huge allegations and accusations that are going on at the exact same time in one hearing. It's a twofer.
It's a lot to digest, and if you want to just go pure entertainment side of the world, this is the Trump administration. They entertain you because there's always something going on, right? I mean, it's if you. I'm trying to look for something positive here, Andrea.
Okay,
it's interesting every single day. How's about that?
One more takeaway. Tell me, or find the positive in this. Because
okay.
You're glass half full. You really are.
I'm
glass
the most
half
optimistic
full.
Person you'll ever meet.
Definitely one of the most optimistic. Comey and Rogers both standing by a U.S. intelligence community report that this was released in January. It concluded. This is conclusive evidence that Vladimir Putin had authorized meddling in the election to undermine U.S. democracy.
Can't find anything positive there.
To harm Hillary Clinton.
Highly irritating. Can't go positive.
To boost Trump's chances.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. Is anybody surprised by that either? I don't want to be...
Boy, and these quotes, and Jake played one of these earlier too. Comey's quote was, they wanted to hurt our democracy. Hurt the United States democracy. That has to anger everybody. Democrat, Republican, Independent, Green Party. You can't meddle in the United States electoral decision. You just can't.
You would think that people would be extremely upset about it, but it still falls on party lines. That's how I see it.
So that puts that to bed.
Right?
That'll be the last we discuss this. No, this is just a whole new can of worms. But yeah, check out. I mean, those are five quick takeaways from the Comey 5+ hour testifying on Capitol Hill yesterday in front of the House Intelligence Committee. Yeah,
5 hours, didn't drink any water, didn't have a sip of coffee, just sat there strong. Comey's one of the most in-shape guys I've ever seen. Comey probably wakes up every morning, goes 3 hours on the elliptical.
Probably does.
Comey's having kale right now.
And he's got great hair, right? Got to give it up for James Comey for that. We have the big story, and it's coming up next. It's the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
In the morning, 720 WGN. It's the Steve Cochran Show. Andrea Darlis, Mark Carmen here with you until 10 o'clock. Steve will be back tomorrow. It's one of our favorite segments, The Kid of the Week. And we have all of our kids of the week are just so amazing and so wonderful and so inspirational. They do such great things. Today we're going to talk to a 14-year-old girl, Sarah Schumann. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
All right, Sarah is an eighth grader at Oak Prairie. She and her class went to the Holocaust Museum in Skokie. Tell us about that experience for you, Sarah, when you went to the Holocaust Museum.
Well, it was very sad, of course, and it reminded me of, like, what's happening in Syria and Palestine. I decided to do something about it.
So what did you do?
I talked to my teacher about if we could, like, donate to Syrian refugees and help them out, and she agreed with, like, an open mind. And then we went to our principal, who also supported us and agreed, and we started donating.
Sarah, when you were headed to the museum, did you have an idea even beforehand that you wanted to do something, or was it just being in the museum, seeing what was going on, and seeing the history, and that inspired you?
Actually, about 2 weeks before the Holocaust Museum, I was at my mosque, and we have a program there every Friday, and one of the leaders there was talking about what's going on in Syria. And so, like, later on that day, I went to my dad, and he, like, explained it to me, and I just knew I had to do something.
It's such a wonderful idea, number one, to want to do something. And when we received the story about you, Sarah, you were nominated by one of your teachers, I believe, your principal, who said that you wanted to be an upstander and not a bystander. That's so cool. I mean, you're 14 years old, can you just completely comprehend what that means?
Yeah, well, who would want to be a bystander, you know? Like, it's a bad feeling. Upstander, you're always going to have that positive, good feeling. And, you know, you're helping others, so what's better?
Sarah, as far as at school and your classmates around you, seeing that you're doing all this stuff, are you getting a lot of support from people jumping in and joining you, or you kind of feel like you're on your own?
No, of course. My family's always helping me and supporting me. Friends, students, classmates, teachers, of course, cousins, everyone who knows about this, like my friends at the mosque. They always help me out, of course.
And the tell us about the fundraiser that you held. This benefits, as you said, SAMS, the Syrian American Medical Society. And tell everybody how much money you raised just based on that one fundraiser, the first one.
$700 nearly.
Boy, and everybody hopped on board. They said, you know what, we're all in.
Yeah.
It's got to make you feel so good to be helping other people. Do people come up to you, Sarah, and say, you know, tell us, do you know enough about, I mean, of course you do, but the refugee crisis, to explain to people, maybe people who aren't as informed as you are, to explain what's happening over there in Syria and Aleppo?
Yeah, I could definitely explain it.
Yeah, tell us from your point of view, you know, what's going on over there, what you're seeing, because I'm curious to see it from the eyes of a 14-year-old.
Well, there's two sides. There's the government against the civilians, basically. And they're basically fighting because they want Bashar al-Assad, the president, to, like, get out. But, you know, him and, like, Russia's teaming up against the opposition forces. And they're just fighting. And then who's stuck in the middle is the civilians of Syria, who's not on either side. And they're the refugees who are trying to flee.
Sarah, how much credit do your parents get as far as sitting around the dinner table, the breakfast table? When did you start hearing these type of conversations and sort of being directed in what was right and what was wrong and how people should be?
Well, my parents get a lot of credit, of course. They raised me, and we started talking about this when I'm from Palestine, and when we go there, like, almost every summer, we always see, like, wars and, like, battles and stuff, you know, we're used to that, you know. So I grew up in the household, like, knowing, like, that's not right. You know, my religion, Islam, teaches us to always be good, like, peaceful. We can't fight. Like, that's not right. We have to always be stand up for others. So, yeah, that's basically it.
And you've seen firsthand wars. You know, you've seen the bomb shelters. So, you know, you see this from such a different perspective. You have such a worldly view of what's actually going on.
Yeah, you always have to go, like, with an open mind. Just because I'm Palestinian does not mean I can't help Syrians, African-Americans, or Mexicans. I could help everyone.
It's such a wonderful attitude. We commend you so much. You're such an inspiration. Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have 4 siblings.
Older or younger?
I have 2 older brothers and 1 little brother and a little sister.
Who's your favorite? I have to play the role of Steve Cochran here. No, you don't have to say a favorite. You love them all, right?
Yes, of course.
No, say a favorite.
Yeah, say a favorite.
What do you want to be when you grow up, Sarah?
I'd like to be a dermatologist.
Oh, that's very cool.
I thought she was going to say a teacher.
Yeah, Sarah, you are just wonderful. What's next? I mean, is there another fundraiser planned, or are you going to do, I'm sure there's more fundraising efforts that you have on your mind.
Yes, I'd love to help Palestine. I'd love to help any place that's in need of help. I always love to volunteer. Yeah.
What do you do for fun, Sarah?
I like to volunteer.
Look at that. God, you're the best. We love you, Sarah. Hey, congratulations again on all of your success. And, you know, we expect great things from you, and I know we'll all see that.
Thank you.
That's our kid of the week, Sarah Schumann. Hold the line, Sarah. You're going to get a lot of great prizes. If you nominate a kid for the Allstate Kid of the Week, a kid you know could be featured right here on the Cochran Show and win great prizes, including an Amazon gift card and a Lou Malnati's pizza. So make your nominees today. Allstate believes good starts young and works towards inspiring the next generation of leaders to reach their full potential and make the world a better place through service. So again, all you have to do is go to WGNradio.com/contest to submit an entry for a kid between the ages of 9 and 18 that you think should be the kid of the week.
Go, Sarah. Congratulations to Sarah and her family. That's a phenomenally well-raised child, right?
Of course. Sponsored by Allstate 645. Dancing with the Stars debuting last night with two local ties, yep. Mr. T and Grandpa David Ross. He did good.
I thought so.
I thought he was great.
He did better than Mr. T, who we love Mr. T. Yeah. Love Mr. T, but I was pleasantly surprised with Grandpa Ross.
You need to stop dogging T.
No, I love T. T's my friend. He's my workout buddy.
T stood there, Andrea. He folded his arms. He moved the legs, and he stared you down.
He looked like he was in pain.
He basically just strutted around. He was very
proud of Andy Mazur, who watched Dancing with the Stars.
For the first time in my life.
The whole thing, Andy?
And live blogged it.
Yeah, I tweeted last night because there are people that weren't watching it, and they wanted to vote for Grandpa Rossi. So I promised that I would... As soon as he was done, I would tweet the phone number to go and vote for him to make sure he was on next week's show. And, it was 2 hours. Went by pretty quickly, but I did remember why I'd never watched it before, and that's because...
It's cheesy and boring?
Well, that's something to do with it. Aaron Andrews just doesn't do it for me.
You know, I always thought Brooke Burke-Charvet, I know it's a mouthful...
I loved her.
...was a better hostess than Aaron Andrews. Yeah, I think Aaron Andrews is great on the sidelines. I mean, you guys know better. You're sports aficionados.
And she's always yucking it up with the sports guys, like she was last night with Rashad Jennings. You know, she's just like, I don't know. Then she gets in a weird mode, you know, a real tomboy sports type.
That's
of
like, come back. This is a dancing show. Come
yeah,
on,
exactly.
Come back.
It's like, what are you doing?
She's not the friendliest person. Like, there's.
Oh, really?
I wasn't saying it like that. I know. I wouldn't say it like that. I don't know Aaron at all personally, but there's a lack of a softness to Aaron when she's doing these things.
Yeah. There's a bit of an edge.
And that comes across, I think, a little bit. Tom Bergeron is great.
He was funny yesterday.
He's funny.
Well,
Charo was on the show. Oh, my God.
Oh,
that was the funniest thing ever.
Security. She's nuts.
She's always been that way, though.
I know, man. And the
you know, the big controversy about Charo is, you know, on Wikipedia, I think it says her age is 60.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Charo's, when I was little, I used to watch her on The Love Boat.
Exactly.
Yeah, me too. Yes.
So she looks fabulous. She should actually get out there and say, oh, I'm 70, whatever.
Well, she's listed as 65 on the show.
Yeah, that's changed, too.
And my program height is listed at 6'2".
Yeah. All right.
And she has a fantastic figure, and my weight is
102.
Her Wikipedia says January 15th, 1951, which would put her at 66, born in Spain.
Yeah, there's been some controversy about her age.
She's been here how long? She still can't speak English.
She looks great. know. David Ross and his partner scored 28 out of 40. That's not bad in a debut.
No,
you know.
And actually, that was very high. I mean, he tied for like, you know, fourth place and with, you know, Nancy Kerrigan and that Heather Morris from Glee, who I thought was going to be a lot better last night.
Bottom line, the guy did it to go Cubs go. He came out in the Cubs
and
jersey.
He slid
into first.
That was
which is,
cool.
How about a bedazzled Cubs jersey, too? He had the sparkly on the home whites.
And, you know, the thing that was good about it is that he looked like he was absolutely enjoying the you-know-what out of it. I mean, it looked fun for the guy.
Well, he had a great message to his family, right? Hey, this is about, I'm doing something that I'm not comfortable doing, and I'm okay, and I'm still your dad, and I'm leaning into something new. It's inspirational for all of us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it.
His
little daughter yelling, go Cubs, go, at the end of that.
Oh, she's so cute.
Outside of his comfort zone, there's two other athletes, Simone Biles and Rashad Jennings,
yes.
who are participating as well. Rashad
Jennings is really good.
They're saying, shock of shocks, that Simone Biles is the likely winner. I guess the odds-on favorite
for
this
competition. You know, I'm done with the gymnasts. They got to quit bringing them in. It's so ridiculous.
What's wrong with the gymnasts?
Because they are trained in all this stuff, and they can throw them around, and they can all do the splits and flips and all the, you know, the big stuff. It's not as hard for them. They say it is.
Mary's very passionate about this. Mary's subconscious has a lot to say, too, about the gymnasts and Dancing with the Stars and just the whole thing, right, Mary's subconscious?
I mean, the unfair advantage is just unbelievable. You throw these kids in there, they're doing flips. I mean, Grandpa Ross doesn't even stand a chance.
What about the splits? Mary's unconscious.
Subconscious.
Oops. My bad.
Oh, that too.
But sub Mary, on you, Mary.
Mary, you actually do dance a little. So what is one of the harder dances for us non-dancers? Is it the tango? Is it the
easiest,
waltz?
The easiest ones are more...
The sprinkler?
The waltz, the Viennese waltz is very hard. The Viennese waltz is hard. And that's what Nancy Kerrigan did that. It's very hard to do your hold, to stand in that position. The quick step is hard.
I'm a big fan of the
tango is tough.
The paso doble is my favorite.
They won't bring that on until later.
Love watching the paso doble.
I can see Grandpa Ross doing the paso doble.
I can see any of the men on this show, Jake, Andy, and Mark. I could see you guys doing this.
Yeah.
I could see Mazur out there for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. Sure.
I didn't know that Mary was so accomplished. Who do you do this dancing with, Mary?
I do ballroom dancing. I take lessons.
Her own stars, yes.
I love it.
Dancing with Mary's stars.
Alberto.
His name is Josh Torres. He's my dance instructor. He's
Josh
awesome.
Josh Torres. Yes. But yeah, Mr. T's got a little work to do. We love our T.
T.
It was interesting, Carmen. I mean, he danced to the A-Team theme.
He didn't dance.
He just stood there.
But I'm just saying, that was the music. It was almost as weird as coming out to sing, you know, dance the Go Cubs Go.
And you know what? It's week one. Give him a chance.
Yeah, they always do that in week one.
Give him a chance. They have this
their own theme.
The celebrity comes out, and then the dancers just dance around them. So that's what they do.
So T gets another chance? Is that right?
Yeah, next week. And then they'll vote somebody off, right? Andre Atlanta.
Yeah.
Monday night.
Oh, yeah, wow. they'll come
and
back.
And it should be the comedian. Okay.
Does that mean that I need to bong my Monday night tennis schedule and instead really dial in? No.
Yeah, see, now I feel like I'm wrapped up in this now. I really want Rossi to win it, but the sooner he's out, the sooner I can stop watching.
Do you think he has a chance? I mean, you watched it. Do you think he has a shot?
You know, he seemed like he was a fan favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, the judges all seemed to really, really like him.
There was a NASCAR driver last time, James, and
he was good.
He was great. I thought he was going to be terrible. They have a bull rider in this one, too. Apparently, he and Sharma have some steamy chemistry going on.
He's pretty cute.
So, all right, there's your Dancing with the Stars recap, for better or for worse.
Never thought I'd be able to take part in that conversation.
We expect more live tweeting from Andy Mazur next week. Maybe you can be our Dancing with the Stars contributor.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Okay. You're locked in, my friend. 657, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning and happy Tuesday, 720 WGN at 710 in the morning. It's the Steve Cochran Show. Mark Carmen, Andrea Darnlis in for Steve. He'll be back with us tomorrow. Andy Mazur's with us, too. Taking care of the sports duties. So we have a very special segment this morning. Pat Brady, welcome to the studio.
It's good to be here again.
Our cohort, we love you. You're going to stick around and talk some politics after 7:30. But
Boris Cochran, is it playing golf or is sick?
No, he's sick. He's been under the weather for a while now, and he just can't beat this poor
cold.
That's
what my kids do to get out of school. Got a tummy ache.
The fake flu, no.
It's good parenting, Pat.
He'll be back with us tomorrow, fingers crossed. He's on some heavy-duty medicine, and he's recovering and recouping at home.
Good.
You don't look like you believe that.
I do believe. Okay. No, he has been sick. It's terrible.
He has, in fact. Yeah. But you're here with the Tuskegee Airmen. This is actually a program called Tuskegee Next. We know what Tuskegee Airmen. We know the group World War II. Tell us a little bit about the group and about Tuskegee Next. This is something that's very near and dear to your heart.
Sure, absolutely. I'm on the board, but more important than that, we're going to have Steve Davis tell the story. I'm going to introduce Steve Davis, CEO of the Will Group. But more important than all the stuff he's going to talk about today is his 30th wedding anniversary.
Wow. Oh, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
It's wonderful.
So, Steve, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us about Tuskegee and the program.
Yeah,
Pat, guys, thank you. It's good. Always good to be here with you guys and appreciate it. Before I start, I have to tell my wife of 30 years, thank you for 10,995 more tomorrows that she's given me. And she's just absolutely wonderful.
How many kids?
8 kids we've raised.
Wow.
And she is a saint, but really blessed and sweetheart, happy anniversary.
How sweet. Yeah, happy anniversary. She is a saint.
She is.
Yeah.
Yes, she is. But no, Pat, guys, thanks for having us. I have the privilege of as I said, being married and raising 8 kids. And on my side job, I chair the Page Airport Board. And been on the board for about 12 years. And 3 or 4 years ago, I was made chairman. And I was talking with my executive director, and we were talking about how can we be impactful. when you think about all the things going on in Chicagoland area, we've got this great airport. And those of us that live in the aviation world, it's not a better general aviation airport in the country, right here in the heart of Chicagoland. We have the legacy of these wonderful veterans, the Tuskegee Airmen. And I'm telling you, when you talk about a patriot, you know, that's the definition. We had an event where they walked in the room and the hair stood up on the back of my neck.
Hey, for those that may not know what Tuskegee is or what they were, tell us about it.
Well, during the Second World War, there was an experiment, a quite interesting experiment, that they brought a group of African-American young men and women to Tuskegee, Alabama, to prove that they could not fly. Mm-hmm. And thank God that the experiment failed. And not only did they learn to fly, they fought with valor and was thought to be the best at what they did. And a lot of the gunner ships actually looked for the Tuskegee Airmen, the Red Tail, to come and escort them when they were making their missions in Germany. And my dad was a World War II guy. And when I see these guys, I think about my dad. My dad was my hero. And when you think about all that they fought through, whether it was learning how to fly in a relatively short time, the racism of the day. Yeah.
And it was an educational program, too.
Absolutely.
It wasn't just flying. It was studies, too.
Absolutely. And you think about going to Europe and fighting with valor, and then coming back here to a segregated country is very difficult. And the Chicago chapter has the name of the Dodo chapter, because, as we know, the Dodo bird is one of the few birds that does not fly. And most of the Tuskegee Airmen that fought during World War II never had a chance to fly again. So that's what we want.
Because they couldn't get hired.
Couldn't get hired. Mm-hmm. Couldn't get jobs. And Milton Williams, who was my dad's age, and Mr. Williams, I hope you're recuperating. I know you've been under the weather. We send our blessings and our prayers and our love to you. Is just an example of that. And he's kind of become one of my favorite. He is just
a gentleman. You mentioned that in the beginning about, and I remember the first time we did that event out at the airport when they walked in, and there is the hair on the back of your neck stands up. You go, this is living history right here. And their stories were just unbelievable.
Yeah, and as I got to know them, and as we went to talk about the formation of this program, again, we have this great airport, we have the legacy of these great heroes, these great patriots.
And then a lot of them here.
Right here. I think we have, at one time, when we had the program, probably 8 or 10 that were still living here. And these gentlemen and young ladies are in their 80s and 90s. So, you know, they're treasured, and we're just lucky to have them. But when you think, you know, that, then the challenges that we're having in urban America, the challenges that we're having with our urban youth, you know, we use the term, we want to bring to the airport our best and brightest. And when we use the term at risk and urban, that's our target market. And who's at risk? I think all of us are at risk at one time. I know I was. And for me, athletics was that way out.
Prior to getting married, you were high risk.
Yes, yes. But prior to that, athletics, the Boy Scouts were my outlet to help reduce that risk. So when you have all these kids and these very smart kids, we wanted to provide an opportunity. So we thought it was a perfect storm to bring inner city urban youth along with this great airport we have right here in DuPage County and the legacy of our Tuskegee Airmen. And that's why we have this young man, James, with me today, who represents the best and brightest of this next generation.
Now how does this work, Tuskegee Next?
Hold that thought.
I'm sorry.
Hold that thought, but it's a perfect segue. Tuskegee Next, we're going to meet.
You're a lot more polite than kind.
What?
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
7:21 in the morning. It is the Steve Cochran Show. As you just heard, we're talking with Pat Brady and Steve Davis with the Tuskegee Airmen, talking about Tuskegee Next. And Mark, off the air, we were just saying that, you know, these men and women were just fought so honorably and came back to, you know, a pre-civil rights United States.
Right. And it's not perfect today, but just listen to the stories you're talking about, just the servitude of it. Here you're living in a country where you can't go to certain schools, you can't drink from certain water fountains, and you're going to go out and you're going to risk your entire life to defend it. Which, I mean, these guys are incredible heroes. And it's also like it's making it for you and not, you know, I'm doing this for me because this is what I believe in, and it's not about everything else. The not stepping into the reactivity of, like, you know, screw you, I'm not going to do this because of what you've done to me is just amazing.
They didn't get a safe zone.
Right, right.
No, and you know that term pay it forward? Gosh, did they pay it forward for us.
Well, let's hear about paying it forward for these guys. Tell us about Tuskegee next.
Well, Pat, and again, thank you guys for having. Did I mention it was my wife's 30th wedding anniversary? I
just wanted to make sure. And we said she's a saint, and we love her.
Right, just want to make sure.
We get you the audio, too.
I want to make sure. But, you know, as I shared this with a few people, and you know, thank God for Pat Brady, because he was one of the first people I shared this thought with, this idea, because I was hoping somebody would say, that's not a good idea. Forget it. You know, bad idea. And, you know, I shared it with it. And when you have a vision, and at first you're a little bit ashamed of it, and I don't think anybody, but I shared it with David Byrd, shared it with Pat Brady, and they were like, yes, great, do it. And next thing you know, we had about 12 people in a room, and we were all sitting together trying to strategize on how to make this come to fruition. And it was just tremendous. And our first class, and the goal is Tuskegee next, Sonora's 10 years. So we want to help create 100 pilots over a 10-year span. And we believe, because the aviation industry is growing at such a rapid rate, that there are going to be opportunities for jobs. And that's why, you know, our second class, and we often argue which was the best, the first or the second, and our third class is coming up. But we have James with us today, who represents one of our best and brightest from that second year.
James Redmond, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Tell us your experience with the program.
My experience is not as long as Steve's, of course, but
that's a really long time. I'm kidding, Steve.
But yeah, it was amazing. We had an 8-week program. First day we came in, they had us flying. We had ground school training at Illinois Aviation out of DuPage Airport. We stayed on a college campus, getting a feel for, you know, how college would be. As many of us are, you know, juniors, seniors in college. So, you know, I mean, juniors and seniors in high school. So, you know, getting that feeling of, you know, independence and, you know, responsibility and time management.
And you got your license in 8 weeks.
I did, 8 weeks.
Your pilot's license.
Yes.
It took me 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really intense.
And I still won't fly with him, yeah, James. I'll fly with you.
Nobody
but
will.
When I fly with Pat Brady.
I really don't. I really can't believe I actually did it.
Tell us about, we were talking before. The first time you got in that plane and the instructor got out, you're out there at DuPage Airport, and what happened?
So I kind of just sat there for like a good minute or so, just like
in
realizing,
the plane,
okay,
with the prop turning.
Yeah, with the prop turning, yeah. You know, just sitting there on the tarmac, just like, okay, yeah, okay, so he's gone.
this is all yours now.
It's all mine.
It's all yours.
Then, you know, just started going through my checklist, you know, I started talking to myself, acting as if he was still there. I made sure not to look on the right side of the plane, you know.
Because that seat's empty, like, buddy.
Right, it's empty. I know it's empty, but, you know, I just imagine, you know, he's still there, okay. So, you know, just focused on what I was doing. Then I took off, and, you know, the first couple seconds, I was just like, okay. So I have two choices. Either I'm going to land or I'm going to die.
No, you weren't going to die. You know, the physicality of all of it and the educational part, but talk about how this has affected you emotionally.
Emotionally, getting my private pilot's license, I kind of expected it to be like a driver's license, like a card, but it was just a little slip of paper, actually. But, you know, holding that slip of paper that day, I have to tell you, I was the proudest, 18-year-old in the world that day. 17-year-old, actually. I wasn't 18 at that point. But I was just, I was
so proud.
That's
as young as you can get your license.
Yeah.
You can't get it when you're 16.
Yeah. I was just so proud. I was just so thankful for the opportunity that I was given, and made sure I took advantage of it. It was a long road, and it was a lot of, you know, sleepless nights and studying, but it kind of paid off. And I think that was actually the first time in my life that I actually, you know, actually worked hard on something, and actually I was able to see, like, the benefits of it and to actually hold it. And that was kind of, it was really neat.
Why do you think you were selected to be in this, James?
I'm actually not sure. You know, we had an interview with a panel of, like, 4 judges or so. And we actually just sat down, you know, they asked basic questions, they had a memory test, and, you know, see how good of character that I had. And, you know, I guess the grace of God.
There you go.
What do you want to do? You want to be a professional?
Right now, I'm thinking about being a professional pilot. Yes, sir. My kind of plan is to, you know, go to college, major in aviation management. Then I was going to graduate with my commercial license, go to like a regional carrier, Envoy or PSA, get my restricted ATP, build hours with them, and then as I get an ATP, my regular license, then I would go, decide whether I wanted to go to like a private company or a regular carrier.
You've accomplished so much at such a young age, and there's only great things to come for you.
For those of us who perhaps don't have the courage that you're showing right now, well, can you explain what it feels like to actually take off and land an airplane?
Yeah.
It is one of the few memories that I personally feel like I can never forget, just because when you're in the plane and, you know, you can actually feel everything and, you know, you get the view of it, you know, the runway and, you know, stand on the center line and right rudder is always emphasized. And it's like, well, I can't really explain it. It's something you have to do in order to, you know, actually feel.
Did you get that sense of freedom once you get up there?
I did. Yeah. I got that sense as soon as the wheels left the tarmac and, you know, I actually looked around, like, you know, and I went through my choices.
For
those at home, he's grinning ear to ear. Grinning ear to ear. Steve, you have a great event that's coming up to May 20th, I believe.
We have Runway on May 20th, and we want all of you guys to come out and join us. If you've ever been on a runway, I think we have about 7,800 feet of runway there, our main runway at DuPage Airport. So you'll get a chance. We'll have a 5K and a 10K that day. And also we have a gala coming up on April 22nd. You should see on social media a lot of information out there. We want you to come out and join us and have a good time. Not only support us, but come out and have a good time and celebrate with these young men and women. As James was talking, I was thinking about when I first met them. You know, I'd look at them and I said, hey guys, the only thing I want you to do is succeed. I want you to look me in the eye and smile. And most of them looked in the ground and were frowning until you get to talk to them after they solo for the first time.
Yeah.
And there is an excitement, there is a confidence that makes it all worth it. And you hear today from James, and you see what the byproduct of this training, having the opportunity to have a checklist. There's a checklist in life. There are things that we need to do, try to avoid. There are things that we need to try not to do. And the same thing with aviation. There's a checklist. There are things that you have to do. And when you ignore the checklist, that's when you tend to have problems.
Right.
And James, spoke very eloquently of this. And that's why we think the program is so important, not only for aviation, but just for life lessons.
And James, congratulations on your success. We're inspired by you.
Thank you.
And you too, Steve, for all you've done for
Tuskegee
Airmen.
Bless you. Thank you for having us back.
And Tuskegee Next. And thank you for being here. Happy anniversary.
Did I mention that?
Yeah. Thank you, guys. And best of luck. Get on out there. Run the runway on May 20th. You can get more information online and social media.
Bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve. We'll be back with more Pat Brady. And the big story next on 720 WGN.
Director Comey, was the president's statement that Obama had his wires tapped in Trump Tower a true statement?
With respect to the president's tweets about alleged wiretapping directed at him by the prior administration, I have no information that supports those tweets. And we have looked carefully inside the FBI. The Department of Justice has asked me to share with you that the answer is the same for the Department of Justice and all its components. The department has no information that supports those tweets.
It is 7:40 in the morning, 7:20 WGN. Pat Brady sticking around with us to talk a little politics. And boy, oh boy, not a good day for the Trump administration yesterday.
Probably the worst of the 62 that he's had. I found that his own FBI director said that the tweets he put out about the wiretaps by the former president, well, maybe that was just made up. And then the fact, to me, more important probably, is that there is an ongoing investigation right now. The Russians' attempt to infiltrate our elections that might involve some of the Trump campaign people. That, to me, is the worst news for the administration, because now, 60 days in, he starts under a cloud of a FBI investigation, and the risk of that is you never know where those go.
Let's just say, for argument's sake, Pat, or just for curiosity's sake, that they find that there was somebody in the Trump administration who was working with Russia, and there was compromise. What do you think happens?
I'm not sure exactly what the statutory scheme is, but somebody should be prosecuted and somebody should be put in jail probably for the rest of their lives. Interfering with the democratic process is pretty serious. I'm not sure if that's treason. I think that's punishable by death.
Don't you think but President Trump at this point should come out and say, look, if there was collusion or whatever, any sort of contact with the Russians, let's find out about this, as opposed to just saying, you know, everything just becomes a tweet or a slam of something or somebody. You know, at some point...
You'd think that, and if you look back at the history of what he has done, there's probably 17 or 18 conspiracy theories that he's come up with, starting with the President Obama's birth certificate to the most recent, all which have been disproven. And his pattern is not to say, I'm sorry, or let's get to the bottom of this. It's he'll take some kind of credit like he did with President Obama, say, well, at least I brought the issue to everybody's attention, then try to push it into the background. But in this case, when you have an active Department of Justice investigation, you can't. So this is going to hang over his presidency and likely have some impact on his ability to get his agenda through.
It's a bit delusional, too, don't you think, to say, okay, you have the director of the FBI, the head of the CIA, all of these agencies saying there is no evidence that wiretaps were placed in Trump Tower. You'd have to get a special warrant. You'd have to go through a panel of judges. There's no evidence. At some point, does Donald Trump concede to that?
Well, like probably not. He never does. But to me, more important for the good of the country is at some point, we're going to get to a point where we have a tragedy or he has to make a decision where we have to engage troops or engage in some kind of activity where we're going to have to rely on the president's word that this needs to be done. We're going to send people into harm's way. And when the president's lost his credibility with the American people, it's a very dangerous thing. That's why back in 94 when Bill Clinton lied, or 96 when Bill Clinton lied about Monica Lewinsky and all that he did with her under oath, mm-hmm. and did it publicly. The big thing that people talked about back then was, as they are here, is once the president loses credibility with the American people and the rest of the world, it's a very dangerous thing. He is commander-in-chief, leader of the free world, and he needs to put the Twitter away.
Yeah. Yeah, so for people, I think, that are not on Team Trump, there's this hope out there that Russia will quote-unquote get him. I mean, to me, that doesn't seem that that's actually possible. Does it seem... If it goes completely sideways for him, could this result in Donald Trump being impeached? I mean, is that even on the radar?
Well, that's why it's such bad news. Yesterday, everything's on the radar once you have an open investigation. And an investigation, particularly of something this serious, yeah, potentially. I hope nobody wants that. I hope nobody's rooting for that. But to me, the only person that won this whole thing so far has been Vladimir Putin. He went this dictator thug from a second-rate country, now is on the world stage as having interfered potentially in the strongest democracy in the world's elections. That makes him look good. It makes us look weak.
I know many of these views are isolationist as far as, you know, being tough on countries that are a threat to us, I guess, with regard to terror, North Korea, Iran, Iraq, fine. But what about our allies? I think we angered Theresa May. When I say we, I mean the United States. I think Theresa May went kind of in a defensive mode, which you really can't blame her. Has this ruined relations with our allies?
I hope not. I mean, I hope our allies are self-centered enough to realize that. And I mean that they should concentrate on what's good for their countries in spite of what we might have as our president here that hasn't quite figured out international diplomacy yet. I hope not, but we need these allies, right, and they need us, mm-hmm. particularly when you have a bad actor like Putin who's trying to exert his influence not only in his sphere, but in the Middle East now, and then now in the United States. That's a scary development, because remember, this dictator, thug, murderer, can't say enough bad things about Putin. His goal is to restore the former Soviet Union.
So if you were advising Donald Trump right now, Pat,
I'm guessing, given my comments on the station the last 2 years, that yeah. I am not on Donald Trump's
that
speed dial.
Right, and sailed.
I understand, but hey, Pat, you got 5 minutes with the president. This is how I recommend you change course. What would you say?
I'd say recognize you have a great opportunity here to do some things that are productive. You actually look at the poll numbers, and a lot of people agree with some of what he's doing policy-wise, some of the regulatory rollbacks, the tax plan, the reestablishing America as a global military superpower, respect of our allies, respect of our enemies. I think a lot of people like that, and that's what got him elected, but he's killing his own agenda by this erratic behavior.
No, completely agree. 7:45. Stick around, Pat. I want to talk to you about the Angela Merkel non-handshake and Ivanka Trump's new office in the West Wing, too. Curious to some.
I wonder who's going to decorate that office.
I don't know. Aaron Schock? Mayor, what's going on
too
with the
soon,
roadways?
Too soon.
Too soon? 7:50 in the morning, 720 WGN. Mark Carm and Andrea Darlis in for Steve. He'll be back with you tomorrow. A little under the weather. Pat Brady's here. We're talking politics. What'd you think of the Angela Merkel non-handshake? Was that a big deal? To me, it seems like he didn't hear her. It was in a room full of people, but was that a big deal?
I don't really think so, unless she thought it was a big deal, because she should be one of our strongest allies. I think a little bit what's going on, too, in the media a little bit, and certainly on the left, is if everything's an outrage, then nothing's outrageous. Yeah. And there's so much screaming and yelling about everything he does. And it seems to get lost and become in the white noise. So I didn't think it was a big deal.
Yeah, I didn't really either. Ivanka Trump's office in the West Wing, personally, she's not really breaking any ethics rules. She's not being paid. It is her father. She's a strong woman. I think she'll really focus on women's issues. Is that bothersome to you?
Yeah, no more than it doesn't bother me, and it didn't bother me when Hillary Clinton was doing the same thing. I want him to have people around him he trusts and has confidence in. If they're poor decision makers, he won't get reelected. But I don't have any problem. That's you elect him, he has the opportunity to set up the people he wants around him. I wish he'd get rid of some of the people he has around him, that Breitbart influence, which I think resulted. You know, the guy that wrote the article about the Russian conspiracy and the tapping was Joel Pollack, who actually ran for Congress here against Jan Schakowsky six years ago. He was on, I saw him on Chuck Todd's show. It was just interesting to hear him talk, but he's the one that came up with it. And he even said in the interview, this was just kind of connecting some dots and making up a theory. It wasn't some hard and fast document, but I guess the president took that way.
Yeah.
Well, he thought that would be to his advantage, obviously, right? So what did you think of James Comey yesterday and his the way he was handling everything?
Well, it's devastating. If you go back and actually read the transcript of what he said in his opening statements, it's really devastating to hear, or interesting to hear what the Russians are trying to do. And the two things are the things he said about the president. There's no evidence that the previous president wiretapped the Trump Tower, and then the fact that there's an open investigation. That's as I said at the outset, that's probably the worst day for Trump since he's been president. But I wish there was more. Two things: when I watched the hearings, I wish there would have been more Republicans asking questions about. They just went on the wiretap questions. I want to know what the Russians are up to, and I wish more Democrats would have asked about the leaks, but they didn't do that. It was very partisan hearing, but Comey, Director Comey, very impressive, I thought.
I think we should get off the wire now. After Comey yesterday, 5.5 hours talking about this, I think we should get off the wiretapping and focus on Russia. Is anything going to happen? I mean, a lot of people are saying that if Trump is impeached down the road, Russia would be the breaking point. This would be it.
Well, you have to prove up, and that's what the investigation is all about, that somebody violated federal laws, specifically violated federal laws. And who knows? The investigation goes where the facts take it. But the fact that there's an open investigation is always very, very bad news for administration. Usually, it takes a president 4 or 5 years before there's an investigation. It took Trump 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a lot of people who want to know who leaked Michael Flynn.
And I want to know that, and everybody should want to know that. And that was part of the focus of yesterday's hearings, and that's the subject of the investigation. But yesterday, something, too, that didn't get pointed out as much because he had already stepped out during the campaign on Hillary Clinton. But investigations are secret for a reason, not just to protect the guilty, but to protect the innocent. Mm-hmm. If you're subject to an investigation or get caught up in an investigation, didn't do anything wrong, you don't want the whole world knowing that the FBI's got a subpoena out on you. So there's a reason, amongst other things, that these things need to be secretive. So yesterday, for him to come out and say and even acknowledge there was one was not something I've seen a lot of.
Am I nuts just to say that, listen, I'm going to take this with North Korea, that we are not going to end the world right now, and this is just going to be a little bit of a something for a while, and then it's going to dissipate like it always has with North Korea? Or is this different to you, what's going on right now?
I think it's different. If they've got weapons that can actually get nuclear warheads to the United States, or they're getting close to doing it, it's different. But again, China pulls their strings. And I know that the current Secretary of State's getting a lot of criticism today, but that's very complicated over there. I'm not pretending to be an expert on it, but you got a nut job like the leader of North Korea with nuclear weapons. This is an example of why maybe some of these nuclear agreements don't work so well. That agreement hasn't worked so well. I'm not sure if this deal with Iran's going to work so well, but there's certainly a real threat.
Boy, Kim Jong-un is such an instigator. Tillerson is in the Middle East, and this nuclear test is now taking place. I actually was, you know, I was glad Tillerson was over there. We will be tough on North Korea. But I agree with you, Pat. I don't think this is different. Well, you know, this guy just keeps, you know, and pushing and pushing and pushing.
Well, China's got to step up and shut them down.
Yeah, they do.
And this is, I mean, this is actually a real concern. All the rest of what we're talking about today really, to me, doesn't matter at all. At the very, very end of the day, this is a... I mean, I think it's just terrifying, right? I mean, it's terrifying to me.
It is. And
pick your dictator, right? You're okay with Putin, but not
well,
Kim Jong-un.
You got him and you got Donald Trump. I mean, how does this play out? No one has any idea.
Well, you just have to have faith that some of the people, and I do have faith in our Secretary of State, actually
I do
think,
too, Pat.
Think like the rest of
I
us.
Do.
And the one thing takeaway, I think, from all this has gone out with Trump, which you saw from his own FBI director and some federal courts, is there is a system of checks and balances, and that right now they're working. But the one area where you don't have a lot of checks and balances is in foreign policy and national security.
I want to ask you about Neil Gorsuch, too. His confirmation hearing was started yesterday. Today is day two. Democrats, they're pressing him, of course, on everything from women's issues to gun issues. I think he will get confirmed. I think he'll be okay. I think he'll be more moderate than a Scalia. What are your thoughts on Neil Gorsuch?
I think he did a great job yesterday. I think that's the bright spot of the Trump administration so far as that pick. And as a conservative, I like him, not because he's a liberal or a conservative, but he takes the view as a jurist that you are supposed to interpret the Constitution as it was written and not impose your views and create new law. And that's what conservatives want. That's why probably the most significant thing that happened this election is they're going to have a conservative on the Supreme Court. And I think he'll get through.
How would you have felt about Merrick Garland?
I actually like Merrick Garland.
Not
that I would support him being Supreme Court because I don't agree with his views of judicial interpretation, but I think the Republicans made a huge mistake not giving him a hearing. There's a million ways to kill a Supreme Court nomination. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Give him the hearing and kill it that way versus not giving him a hearing at all, and it gave the Democrats put a lot of wind in their sails to blow back on the Republican pick.
I think Gorsuch did himself a big favor when he not criticized President Trump with regard to the first travel ban in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, but when he said, "You don't criticize my brothers and sisters who wear the robe."
You can't, as the president, there's three branches of government, criticize or try to undermine the other branch. That violates the whole separation of powers idea, which we've seen in the last 60 days is pretty important to us.
What happened to Merrick Garland was just flat out wrong. I mean, that guy deserved a hearing.
Where is Merrick Garland these days?
Good question.
Well, you remember this started back with
Judge... On an island somewhere.
This all goes back almost to Watergate because it started with Justice Bork, and payback on him was to do the same thing. So I agree with you. That's not the way the process is supposed to work, and Republicans made a mistake, and they're going to pay for it. But I think their guy's going to get through, and he's probably going to end up being a very good Supreme Court justice.
I think he will as well, too. Pat, thank you for being with us,
It's good to be here. Sorry, Steve's probably about the fourth hole right now.
Yeah.
May not be invited back after that, but it's good
to
see
you guys. You'll be here Thursday, right?
No, I will be
you're not gonna be...
spring break with the kiddos.
Oh, are you a little tickle there? A little cough?
No, I'm flat out going. I'm telling everybody.
Pat Brady, Next Generation Strategies.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much.
Good luck to your Arizona Wildcats, especially now that Northwestern is...
Yeah,
I know. Sorry for my Illinois State Redbirds, too. That was just a tough one. So thank you.
Yeah. Illinois one. You saw that, right? The NIT, Pat?
That's the not in the tournament?
Yeah.
We're in the big show.
I know. Go Arizona, right?
Let's talk about 2005 somewhere.
Oh, we should. Yeah, that'll be a whole nother hour.
The whole show on that.
We'll be back after this on WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
The best of the biz, she is Kim Potts, TV screener who working for Yahoo.com. You just have to ask and then listen, cause she's in the know, and she knows the shows that will stay or go. I'm just gonna hear what she has to say. There ain't no better reason this entire TV season to listen to Kim Potts today.
Our favorite guest of all time, Kim Potts. How are you, Kim?
I'm good. How are you, Andrea?
Oh, very good. We're so excited. Mark, have you ever experienced the full Kim Potts? The full Kim Potts experience?
I don't know about the full Kim Potts. I've had at least half of Potts.
We know you're a fan, but this is life-changing for you.
I know. The reason why I'm so excited to be here today, outside of just being here today, is because of Kim Potts.
Well, Kim Potts, Yahoo TV. Where can we follow you, Kim?
YahooTV.com and on Twitter at TV Screener.
Okay, we have so much to talk about. So many new shows are coming. So many shows are returning. But one of our personal favorites, Mary Sandberg Boyle, Comcast SportsNet, and I have just been going crazy over Homeland.
Oh, Homeland. And you are Peter Quinn fans, of course.
Yes, we are. We, Peter Quinn is, if I wasn't already married, I would maybe want to marry Peter Quinn.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how much more can he take?
I know this guy.
I don't know. I keep thinking that, but then, I mean, he should not be as massively powerful and alert and everything that he is at this point, given everything that he's been through. But he doesn't seem to have, we think he's lost a step, but he doesn't seem to have when he's dealing with Dara Dahl and all these people. You sort of, I mean, you definitely want him to get a break at this point, but I don't think he's going to, unfortunately.
I mean, the things he can do with one arm is amazing.
And a limp?
Yes. And now that he doesn't have that little drug problem that he had for that short period of time while he was, you know, rehabbing there, his mind is really sharp.
It is, and that was the other thing. We thought he was supposed to have had some sort of maybe brain damage from being in the coma and being brought out of the coma so drastically, so dramatically. But he certainly doesn't seem to, and I think he's the most formidable person on this show right now, even given how scary Dara Dahl is.
I hate Dara Dahl.
I hate him.
I hate him too. He's not even a character. Right? He's not even a character that you. Oh, I love to hate him. No, I can't stand him. I want him off the show.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like there's any way he can continue for much longer, right? I mean, it's really getting to a boiling point for him. So Saul is against him now, and Carrie, and the president, or the president-elect. So, yeah, I don't see how he ends the season in a good place, or even alive, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Do you think Carrie's going to get her kid?
Yeah, will Carrie get the kid back?
Oh, you know what? That was... because that was Dar plotting there, I thought that might, once they found out last week about, you know, kind of what he's been doing behind the scenes, I thought that might get reversed. But that seems like it's going to drag out a little while, right?
Yeah, but Kim, I said to Mary, though, I'm happy. I like Franny, but I'm kind of glad she's in the foster care because now Carrie can go back to being a badass.
Yeah, because that psychologist told her, you know, hey, sometimes the kid needs to come first, and Carrie can't do that. Mm-hmm. She needs to focus on, like, the CIA.
Yeah, saving the world.
Yeah.
And the president.
Exactly. And the other thing is that psychiatrist wasn't wrong. I'm not sure Carrie can pull herself out of the job, you know, well enough, completely enough to really take care of Franny. I keep thinking she should be calling her sister in Europe and asking her to come home. And
that's what I said.
That's what Mary just said too.
She was better off when the sister had the kid.
Though. Right, exactly. All right, so good.
Yeah, like live nearby so that she can see her all the time. But yeah, I think Franny may be better off with the sister on a full-time basis.
All right, good stuff to come with Homeland.
All right, let's move on here, you Homeland junkies.
I know.
Let's go Bates Motel here, Kim. I thought Norman's making some good moves. He's approaching Dr. Edwards. Are we proud of Norman?
I don't think you know what, that's another character we were talking about, Dara Dahl, and we don't even love to hate him. I think we love the Norman character so much in this show. Everything that Freddie Highmore has done, the way the character's been written, you're still rooting for him. You're still hoping that there's a chance that he's not going to become the Norman of Psycho. But, you know, I don't think there's a lot of hope there. Last night's episode was the first of the two-episode arc with Rihanna as Marion Crane. Don't want to spoil anything, but next week's episode wraps that up in very surprising ways. Don't assume that they're going to go, you know, just copy the Psycho storyline. That's not the case at all. And it really, in addition to the Marion Crane storyline, it also really furthers the Norman storyline. Don't forget Dylan and Emma are back in the mix, and a lot of things have to happen with that. Romero is still out there, and his sole goal, his sole purpose in life is to get revenge on Norman. So a lot of things happening, and there are only 5 episodes left now.
And Fargo fans, the season 3 is coming back. FX confirming a premiere date, Kim?
Yes, that is back on April 19th. So not too far off, less than a month to go now for that great show. And it looks like it's going to be another amazing season. Carrie Coon from The Leftovers, Ewan McGregor playing a pair of brothers, and he's almost unrecognizable in the trailer. We know that it's set in the year 2010. And as far as storyline, we don't know a lot else about it, but, you know, we don't really need to with Fargo. We know with that cast and those writers and just the vibe of that show, it's going to be another great season.
All right, we have to ask you about The Americans, Big Bang Theory, Walking Dead, much more. Hang on the line 1 second, Kim, and we'll get you all caught up on traffic and be back with Kim Potts on 720 WGN. In the morning, 720 WGN. Steve Cochran Show. Steve's back tomorrow. Dean Richards back tomorrow as well. Kim Potts, Yahoo TV. We're running down some of the best shows on television right now. Talking about Bates Motel, Fargo, Homeland, The Americans. Kim, I'm a season behind on this, but I will catch up on my treadmill. will there be a next season? I know is the finale coming up on Tuesday? Is that the big episode?
No, tonight there is a new episode, and it is a big one with a very, very big surprise. And I really can't say any more than that, but fans of the show who've been watching definitely want to tune in. Very much worth it. And also just in general, a great episode. And this is actually the penultimate season of the show. Next season will be its final one.
Will be the final one, so I'll have to catch up. All right, good. So watch for that. That's tonight. And great news if you're fans of The Big Bang Theory.
Yes, they renewed for two more seasons. I think they're in season 10 right now. It's a little hard to imagine that there are two more seasons of story left for the show. I mean, a sitcom is, you know, there are not a lot of plot points, I think, left to cover. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of big events in the lives of these characters. But they're set for two more full seasons after the current one. There's still a few episodes left this season. The other big news about the show, though, is that there is going to be a spinoff series next season, which focuses on Jim Parsons' character Sheldon as a child. And we know as a child at like 7 or 8, he was already in college.
Yeah.
So that it looks very promising. It looks very cute, very funny.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that would go. I love Big Bang. My favorite part now are the girls. I mean, Penny and Bernadette. And I just love their rapport, don't you? They kind of started off as side characters. But to me now, they're funnier than the guys sometimes.
Absolutely. And their chemistry together is great. I mean, I think that could have been a spinoff in and of itself. That would, I think, be a little tougher to do, obviously, because what are you going to have them all divorced? Or,
yeah,
you know, how are you going to take the guys out of that? But, no, I agree. Those are often the best storylines these days in those episodes.
Kim, let's talk Walking Dead. It's been, a somewhat dull season overall. People are falling off the bandwagon here. But I'm wondering, can we get a little more Daryl in our lives? I'm into Daryl, but he's been very quiet. And do you think Rosita's alive, and is she going to be the one to take out Negan? I could also use some more Negan. Negan's an underrated villain. He doesn't get enough love.
Everybody.
Negan is an underrated villain. I think that was a great move, bringing that character in when they did, even though we lost a couple of our favorite characters, of course. You know what? There is going to be more Negan for sure. I think the finale is going to be kind of setting up what next season is going to be, and I think that's going to mean a war between Rick and the people that he's allied himself with, and definitely more Daryl. Rosita, I don't know if she's going to be the one. I'm thinking at this point it may be Sasha who gets the shot at Negan, but you know, we have already had confirmation that Negan is definitely back next season, and so I don't think anybody is taking him out. I think at this point it's just a matter of who even gets to take another shot at him. But we will see more Daryl for sure. The episode that's coming up this Sunday kind of sets up more of the storyline of Rick getting all these people together to form this army big enough, strong enough to take on Negan and his people. And then I think the finale, there are just two more episodes left this season, and I think the finale then will sort of start that war.
Prediction of next death?
Oh, I'm going to say it's not looking great for Sasha, not only because she's inside the Savior's compound now, but Sonequa Martin-Green, the actress who's playing her, is going to be starring in the new Star Trek series. So it's going to be hard to be on two full-time series. I'm thinking it may not look so good for Sasha.
Connect the dots, Sasha Dunn.
It's so funny. I love talking about, you know, stuff that we love to talk about, but when it's stuff you have no idea, it's just hilarious. I'm sure people are going, Sasha, no. What compound is that? Hey, Kim, Grace and Frankie. I love Grace and Frankie. Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin. I binged the first season. I couldn't stop. These two, they've gotten better with age. They're funnier, and they're both just such dynamic characters. So season 3 is coming back when?
on Friday on Netflix.
Oh, good.
The whole third season, so good weekend binge watch, or I guess you have to catch up on the first two seasons. A great excuse to do that. I agree. They're just fun to watch. Whatever they're doing or saying on screen, they're just incredibly compelling to watch.
Yeah, and I love the guest stars that they bring in, too, like the Sam Elliotts and the different characters that they bring in, too, to be either love interests or friends. You know, it's such a great, solid cast.
It really is. And again, they're so amazing together. They're friends in real life, obviously, for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And from their 9-to-5 days. But, yeah, it's just such a good show. And it's great to see them. You know, it's great to see people who aren't 20 or even 40 or 50, you know. And it's not a – I mean, I think it's a show that's certainly aimed maybe at that demographic. But I know a lot of people who – of every age who are watching it because it's just genuinely funny and good and a fun show to watch.
It is. It's laugh out loud funny. Do you think Dolly Parton, you brought up 9-to-5, will Dolly Parton make an appearance this season? I know there's been a little talk about that.
Nobody will say, but the fact that there continues to be all of this talk about it sort of makes me think that it's possible. If not this season, I think definitely in the future it's something they're working on. And how can they not have that happen?
Right? I know they have to, especially after the, was it the SAG Awards where they presented Lily Tomlin with the award. They have to do it. They have to do it. And one more for you. Dave Chappelle has a couple of stand-up specials that are going to be released this week, too.
Yes, today on Netflix, two Chappelle stand-up shows. I think he's been on all of our minds. I mean, I don't think he ever left our minds. We still all love the Comedy Central show and the repeats of those. But certainly after that great hosting job he did with SNL, the first show after the election, he handled it so perfectly and I think said exactly what a lot of people were thinking and feeling. And so now he's been doing a lot of interviews the last couple of weeks talking about still people wonder how he could have passed up the $40 million to continue doing the Comedy Central show. He addresses that in the stand-up specials. And, you know, he just has interesting, hilarious takes on a lot of different things. And these specials are definitely both worth checking out.
And one more, too. Shots Fired. This reminds me of Crash a little bit, the movie. Kind of racially motivated. It'll be emotional, I think, this one.
It will definitely. A stellar cast. Sanaa Lathan, Helen Hunt, Richard Dreyfuss. A very, very excellent cast. Yeah, it's definitely meant to make you think a little bit, to kind of tackle some issues in some different ways. It doesn't go the expected route for a lot of the things that happen within the show. But yes, that starts tomorrow night on Fox. It's a limited run. I think it's 10 episodes. You know, and that's another thing that so many networks are doing now, this kind of limited run series the night of last summer and the OJ series on FX last year, Feud on FX right now, which is another great one.
American Crime Story, that's another one that does it.
Yeah.
10-parters.
Yes.
Politically motivated,
exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think we love those shows because we know there's a definitive end. You know that you're going to get some sort of resolution. And it makes you a little more likely, a little more willing, I think, to give your time to something that you know it's not going to get canceled after episode 3. You're going to get to see the whole story play out. And it's fun to know that you're going to get some sort of resolution.
Kim, we love when you come on with us. We're getting phone calls. We're getting texts.
I'd also like to mention that, Kim, I love girls. I feel like I got to get that on the table with you, and I'm going to miss it when it's over, and it's coming soon here. Does that make me more or less manly in your mind?
Less, but
absolutely. More. No, more.
No, Kim, you're just nice, Kim.
Thanks, Kim. I believe you when you say that.
A good season, right? I mean, definitely some twists there that I don't think anybody saw coming.
Kim, would you come back with us later in the week? I know everybody has questions and, you know, everyone wants to know about the good life or the good fights. So, no, I'm kidding. But will you come back with us later in the week?
Absolutely. I'd love to.
All right. We love you. Again, Kim, where can we follow you on Twitter?
At TV Screener.
Very good. That's the great Kim Pox. We'll talk to her a little bit later on in the week and back with the big story next on WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Down to Duchesne along the right boards. Coughed it up. Carroll going for the empty net. He should have scored! A long shot from the Hawk zone. And it's Marcus Kruger actually firing it down. An empty net goal will seal the deal for the Hawks. 1.6 left on the clock. Hawks will win this game 6-3.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Scorching.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Hawks are playing awesome. God, they're so fun to watch. Why don't we do a hat trick every game?
Why don't we? Let's
do it. Work. You guys are down in the dressing room all the time. Do it.
Let's just make it a rule.
Do you know, Andrea, being the diehard Blackhawks fan you are?
I'm wearing my black and red today.
Let's go. The last 35 games that Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews have scored, do you know what the Blackhawks record is?
Out of the last 35 games?
Yeah, there's 30 in the...
30 and 5.
Mazur?
It's pretty close.
You know the answer?
Yeah, I don't want to give it.
Mazur always knows the answer.
What is it?
It's 35-0.
Oh.
When they both score in the same game, the Blackhawks are unbeatable. Know that. Tell that to people. You'll be on a whole nother level.
Put your bias and your feelings aside. Will we win the Stanley Cup this year?
Mazur?
Well, you know, it's always interesting because it's the hardest trophy in sports to win.
Mm-hmm.
Much more difficult to win now than before.
Why,
but,
I just want to argue with that right now. Why is that?
It's grueling. They're all seven-game series, and there's so many series until you actually even get to play for the Cup.
The flukiness of baseball doesn't...
16 wins.
Okay, fine.
As opposed to 11.
Whatever. It's all hard. They're all hard. It's my point. But go ahead.
Yeah, they're all difficult.
I think so.
I think they have a pretty... I mean, who would really bet against them right now?
I'm going to get my calendar.
It's difficult to bet against them.
Not me.
I think we should do the parade. Let me see.
Yeah, there you go. You know who's
going
to be honored?
I have stuff going on in June.
One of your favorites is going to be honored tonight, Andrea.
Who's that?
That would be good old number 30. Ed Belfour is... They have the incredible cool one more shift.
He may not leave the ice.
That's okay.
He's one of those guys that would probably stay.
Yeah, I think that's just so awesome. Bring back a great and let him stand on the blue line as the national anthem goes and the crowd's going crazy and you're wearing the jersey. I mean, how awesome is that?
Will the Blackhawks add more ambassadors? I mean, could he be? I know we have Stan Mikita, Bobby Hull.
I think it's possible, Ben, because you look at some of the guys that have come back for the Blackhawks convention over the last few years, and you know Steve Larmer was back this year. I know there's a vocal majority of fans that want the number 28 to hang from the rafters because they think that he was worthy of that honor, over 400 goals as a Blackhawk. So I think there could be some movement in that.
Let's bring in the greatest man ever. I don't want to overstate it, but everybody loves Troy Murray, who is sponsored by Chicago's own Nuveen. Of course, sitting along John Weideman on your WGN radio broadcast. Troy, good morning. Can we not play the rest of the regular season and go right to the playoffs because the Hawks are rolling? Or I guess the benefit is you get some guys back healthy who will help you for the grind that is the NHL playoffs.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a bad idea just to get things finished off here for the last 3 weeks. But they've got some business to take care of, get everybody back healthy before the start of the postseason, as you said, is probably the priority here. I don't think it's imperative for the Blackhawks, you know, to put everything on the line to finish this off. They know what they need to do once they get in the postseason. They put themselves in a pretty good position right now, seven points up on Minnesota. Beginning of February, they were 6 points behind Minnesota, and I really didn't think that there was an opportunity the way Minnesota was playing to get first place in Central, maybe get first place overall in the West, which the good thing is would give you home ice advantage throughout the playoffs until you got to the Stanley Cup Final, and they still have that possibility of maybe being the best team record-wise overall in the NHL.
Troy, this is when I love to listen to Coach Q talk after the game because he's the master tactician. He also understands what it takes to be there. Obviously, they've had success with him. And just the way that he'll manipulate the lineup to have a chance to win because of the deep team, but yet get guys ready and healthy enough for the playoffs.
If you look at Johnny Oduya not playing in the back-to-back set this weekend, gave Michael Kempney an opportunity to get back into the fold here. He hadn't played for the previous four or five games. And I think it's important because everybody knows, and that's why you go out and add a guy like Johnny Oduya. You need depth on the defensive side of it. And this year, this team is way deeper than it's been in the past several seasons. You really like what you've got. Michael Kempney progression was coming along really well. I know it's probably a little bit disappointing for him that he's not in on a regular basis now. I think he was playing some of his best hockey before they picked up Johnny Oduya. But you're going to need everybody down the stretch. You're going to need all the forwards. You're going to need all the defensemen. So the luxury that Joel Quenneville has right now with the position that the team is in is to give Johnny Oduya a night off. And I wouldn't be surprised if things don't you know, kind of unfold a little bit further down the road here, that some of the key players get a night off, if it says so, kind of in the standings and the way that the schedule is. But they're in a pretty good position right now. They've got a lot of depth, and I like what's going on.
Troy, the great number 30, Eddie Belfour, being honored Thursday night, Thursday at the UC. That's going to be very special. A great night for Ed Belfour.
Yeah, you know, Eddie was just one of those unique characters that came around. He was actually back at the University of North Dakota, and I've got some good stories where this kid who we had no idea who Eddie Belfour was. And yet every night when we had a skate at the University of North Dakota in the summertime, we needed goaltenders. And this kid would drive 2 hours from Manitoba to come down and just play goaltender for us. So there was a lot of ex-pros back in Grand Forks. And we didn't have a clue who this guy was other than he was coming down to play goaltender for us. And we find out later on that this is a kid who's going to walk on at the University of North Dakota, didn't even have anything guaranteed. It was one of the best goaltenders in the history of the university, comes from North Dakota to Chicago, and is one of the best goaltenders in the history of the National Hockey League. We didn't even know who he was. We had two goaltenders that were in the NHL at that time, and Eddie was better than those two guys. And he hadn't even started his collegiate career. We're just like, who is this kid? He was so competitive, it was unbelievable.
And he had one of the best mullets going at that time, too, didn't he?
he had some good flow going. Yeah, he did.
Hey, Troy, let's go back to the other night, too, with the crazy comeback. And guys in the dressing room after the game were really crediting Jordan Tutu for speaking up and telling everybody to, you know, shoot the puck, for goodness sakes. You know, you're being too fancy. You know, we're better than this. And I couldn't help but draw the comparison of the number 22 guy, who was a, you know, for more of a better word, you know, a role guy, compared to Jason Hayward, the number 22 for the Cubs, in the little pep talk during the rain delay.
Well, he's a veteran player, and he is one of the more vocal guys inside the locker room. And the one thing that the Blackhawks, I mean, they have a great core group of guys, but it's not a vocal core group of guys. You know, Jonathan Toews isn't a yeller and screamer. Neither is Patrick Kane. Marian Hossa's got a quiet personality. Duncan Keith is really intense, but a lot of that stays inside. Brent Seabrook, I would say, out of that core group, is maybe the most vocal guy inside the locker room. So when you add a veteran player who's been around, he knows what his role is. Blackhawks have signed him for another year of a contract, which is good for Jordan. But he's an important piece of the puzzle inside that room. And even though he probably knew that he wasn't himself going to be a huge factor in turning around the game, although he can do that with his physical play or a timely fight, whatever it is, he understood that there was a time and place for somebody to stand up and say something. And if you listen to our broadcast, John and I mean, I just couldn't believe how many opportunities Chicago was passing up to not shoot the puck. And when finally Duncan Keith shot the puck, and it was a double redirect off Hayden and then Jonathan Toews, and then that, like, hallelujah, shoot the puck and good things happen.
Hey, Troy, the Blackhawks in the playoffs now for 9 straight years, right? And so this year, clinching in the 72nd game, that's the earliest ever under Coach Q. Does that stat mean anything to you?
It's impressive. First and foremost, you've got some great hockey teams that have had some great runs here in this kind of era where the Blackhawks have been dominating and haven't made the playoffs after having won this. Look at the LA Kings. You know, the consistency that Joel Quenneville has shown as a coach is why he's one of the highest paid and best coaches in the game today, because he understands what he needs to do to keep his core group motivated, keep them pushing forward. And that's the important part. These guys, if each one of those core group of guys just retired tomorrow or after the season is over, they'd probably all go into the Hall of Fame. They've all got 3 Stanley Cups, more numerous league trophies. And yet for this team to have that consistency year in and year out, the way that it just goes about its business, is a real testament to the coaching staff, and it's a real testament to the organization and to those guys inside the locker room who are driving the engine, those core group of guys. Even though, you know, they've done it all, they've been there, and what's more to you know, achieve, but that's not what drives this core group of guys. They want to be the best each and every year. They want to win another Stanley Cup, and that's what keeps this whole thing fresh is it's just not the fact that they're happy of and complacent of putting themselves in an era where they're going to be known as one of the best teams of a decade or a decade and a half, whatever it is. That doesn't satisfy them, and that's why this team is so consistent. That's why this team has made the playoffs 9 consecutive years with that core group inside the locker room. It's just a testament to everybody involved that this is a strong core group of guys, and the Blackhawks are very privileged to be around these guys.
In honor of Ed Belfour and one more shift Thursday night, do you prefer Pat Foley's Belfour or Pat Foley's Bannerman, if you had to pick?
Oh, wow, that's a good – you know what, I got to go with Murray Bannerman. I got to go with the Bannerman call. That was my era.
Awesome.
That was my roommate on the road, Murray Bannerman was. I got to go. As much as I have respect for Eddie Belfour, I love Murray Bannerman, and I got to go with the Bannerman call.
The Bannerman call is maybe the greatest call of all time.
Yeah, that was a Keith Acton breakaway, if I'm not mistaken, right?
And don't ask me to do it.
Andy Mazur wants to do it.
Can you do it, Troy?
Here's a great story. We're golfing in Arizona, and this is probably 6-7 years ago. I don't know what it is. And Pat Foley and I, on a day off, actually happened to go when we were playing golf. And there was a group of guys behind us who didn't recognize who I was. They had no clue who I was, but they recognized Pat Foley. And the beer cart came around, and these guys, we were kind of backed up. And they finally, like, said something. He said, hey, you know, we know you're Pat Foley and all this kind of stuff. He says, we will buy you a round of drinks if you give us the Bannerman call.
Oh, so, and did you?
No, this was Pat did. So Pat goes, yeah, you bet. So he, in the middle of the golf course in Arizona, he gives the Bannerman call.
That's awesome.
And these guys were more than happy to buy our group a round of drinks.
That's unbelievable. You can just walk around cities and get fed and drink, just screaming Bannerman.
Hey, we'll buy you a round of drinks if you give us just one Bannerman.
Done.
Troy, you're the best. Thank you so much for being with us.
All right, thanks for having me on. Right. Always a pleasure.
That is the great Troy Murray. All right, do it. Come on, Mazur. You're dying.
Bannerman!
I'll buy you coffee.
Thank
How's
you.
That?
I'll take
that's
one.
That's my childhood right there, Bannerman. And
Mary, do it. Come on, it's all you.
No, I can't do it. I could never beat them.
You were right there, Mary. You were right there.
No, you got it, Carmen.
Do it. All right, 8:51. Let's get you all caught up on traffic.
Peer pressure.
What's going on, Mary?
Oh, how was that? That
was good.
It's too squawky.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Acton moving right in along the shot. Bannerman did it again.
That's why I wasn't looking at my pile, okay?
That was so
It was great. Well worth it.
There was a lot going on there.
You guys are so excited. You're like little kids at a candy store. Oh.
Yeah, the very steely look of a Mike Jacobson, just tunnel vision, finding the Bannerman call. You had the Mazur completely
scuffling.
Flustered.
Scuffling.
Just completely scuffling.
That was great, though. It was so well worth it.
Yeah. It was one of those radio moments that, as I used to hear all the time in the radio booth for the Cubs, these are live broadcasts.
Is this thing on? Hello? Is this thing on? You have great stories, though, Maze.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when you were covering the Cubs.
Tons and tons. Some of them I can actually repeat on the radio.
You should write a book. Has anybody ever said that to you?
You know, people have approached me about that.
Writing a book about all your funky stories?
About the funky stories and just the travels with the three amigos in the booth? Yeah.
I'm interested in your writing, but I honestly just want a picture book of Andy Mazur photography.
Okay, I can do that, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But yeah, you know what? You take beautiful, just stunning still photographs,
well, thank
by
you.
The way.
I appreciate that. I have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Actually, you know. I've got a new website for those, too.
And that is?
AndyMazurPhoto.com.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you go to Andy Mazur Photo, you know what happens?
Why do you moan? You're so funny.
Because you just get, it's so relaxing just to see a sunset through
it is
the
a little
lens.
Soothing,
of,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, through the this, lens of an Andy Mazur.
You know, this city is so photogenic. It's ridiculous.
The way you capture the Chicago River and the glistening of the sun off of a metal object.
I'm going to hire you to do my commercials.
This is like the most sensitive side of you.
I could do a commercial for Mazur. Come experience Chicago the way no one has ever experienced it before.
Just make sure you look at his pile.
Andy
Mazur photo.
The former Chicago Cubs entrenched broadcaster who knew everything about Ron Santo and will tell you at least one bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
He is now walking the streets looking for opportunities to illuminate the city with his keen sense of visual sensation and documentation all for you here at AndyMazerPhotos.com.
And by the way, Andy Mazer's website is on the up and up.
It's on the up.
It's not porn.
It's legit.
It's legit. It's good stuff.
It's legit.
You didn't want to go to MarkCarmen.com for a while. Used to have that website, then forgot to pay for that website, and then somebody got a hold of that website who didn't need to get a hold of that website.
Someone stole your domain? Someone stole your name.
It went from me to adult entertainment.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It is indeed, and thank you for being with us on this Tuesday morning. 9:12 in the morning, Bill and Wendy coming up at 9:10. It is the Steve Cochran Show. Mark Carmen, Andrea Darlis, we're here with you until 10. Steve back tomorrow. And hello to all our friends at CLTV. Thanks for watching us. Andy Mazur in studio with us, too. Mark, I've always been a fan of the circus ever since I was a kid. You too?
Myself as well. I went to Wrigling Brothers probably starting at 7 years old. One of the highlights of my life was when I did get picked out of the crowd to go ride in one of the carriages. We had to flip a coin, me and my cousin Miriam. I won, she cried, they took us both.
Very cool. That's a cool, fun memory. I always remember getting snow cones and popcorn and seeing the elephants and the tigers. There's a new Broadway in Chicago production at the Oriental Theater. It opens tonight. It's called Circus 1903, The Golden Age of Circus. And in our studio we have David Williamson. It's Willie the Ringmaster. How you doing, Willie?
I'm doing great.
Oh, sorry, thanks for having me. On there. Thanks for being here. And all right, tell us about Circus 1903. Is this an actual circus that we're going to see
first
on
let me
stage?
Hand you this snow cone.
Oh yeah,
there you go.
So tasty.
Rainbow.
Now I sound like a Mark Carmen commercial.
Way to go, Willie. Bringing in the magical
right.
snow cone.
That's right. It is a circus show. It's a Broadway-style show on a proscenium stage using real circus stars. These amazing artists were hand-selected from around the world. They're all at the top of the game. And basically, our show depicts the day in the life of a circus that comes to town in 1903. Imagine when the circus came to town in 1903 to your small-town America. It was like the Olympics, the Super Bowl, the Oscars all rolled into one. It was the biggest day of the year. Schools and factories closed. Everybody ran down to the train yard to watch the elephants set up the tents. So that's kind of the excitement, the exuberance, the over-the-top artistry. We throw a big, fat, romantic spotlight on that iconic image and depict it for people in a big, crazy show.
But there's not real animals.
Well, we do have real animals.
Are there? But the elephants.
I don't call them that. I call them the jugglers and the acrobats.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
To their face, you know.
Exactly.
But they are animals. But no, our elephants are amazing puppets. They're life-size elephant puppets, and they were created by the same people who did the puppets for the War Horse.
Yeah, that was a great production,
and
too.
As soon as these elephants step on stage, you forget that there's puppeteers there. They are just real elephants,
wow.
And it's like pretty amazing.
Thing. Yeah.
Do you do anything to duplicate, to simulate the smell of the elephant? Like, the circus comes into town, you can smell it across
the
city.
We let the crowd provide that themselves.
<That's>
yeah, bring your own smells, yeah. Smell-o-rama.
But this kind of gives you an idea of like the original circus, you know, when they were the bearded lady, when you didn't have...
We do have the sideshow element to our show as well. You'll see when the show opens, so the first half of the show is outside, before the circus tent goes up, outside the wagons, people rehearsing, they're getting ready, they're driving the stakes in the, you know, in the ground. And we actually have the midway and the sideshow, a little nod to that, and some amazing sideshow acts. And it's hilarious and crazy. And we have an incredible contortionist who bends herself into tiny little pretzels.
Oh, there you go. Andy Mazur's eyes go up. Hello.
Oh, yeah. I'm just curious, too. I mean, from the aspect of the ringmaster, I mean, how much preparation actually goes into that? Because, you know, you see the guy, and it's like a traffic cop almost, but how much is there a preparation involved with that?
You know, we built this show in Australia. We brought all the acts together, and I'm not a real ringmaster. I mean, I am now, but I'm a magician. I was in The Illusionist, and that's my background. But I realized quickly that, you know, having the privilege of presenting these amazing acts, these circus acts, and this fronting this amazing show, it's like a magician. It's like a magic act, except I'm not the only one providing the magic. You know, it's the magic of the theater. It's the magic of these incredible, skillful circus artists. So it's kind of the same job I've always had, but in the guise of the ringmaster, but it's a lot of fun.
I saw The Illusionist a few weeks ago when they were here in Chicago. Yeah. It was amazing. I mean, literally, it's a magic show, but you have six or seven different magicians,
right,
and illusionists, and they're just, everybody has their own specialty.
And it's the same producers, and that's what I love about this show. The Illusionist was a show you could bring all three generations to. You grab the grandparents, you grab the kids. It was a fantastic show that everybody could enjoy at the same time. The producers of The Illusionist did the same thing with circus artists. They throw a big, beautiful spotlight on the individual talent, the over-the-top showmanship of these individual acts, and you appreciate the humanity and the artistry of each act. And that's what we're doing on the circus. Instead of it just being a big Cirque du Soleil sort of over-the-top extravaganza where you don't really get to enjoy each individual artist and get to know them as a person one at a time. That's what we're doing here. So we're putting a nice frame around.
Would you say it's more for children or more date night?
Everything. Everything in between. We have been going from coast to coast. We started in L.A., Denver, Boston, Detroit, now Chicago. We three cities in Australia. And we see everything. We see kids, parents, grandparents, date night. People, I just read a tweet that somebody said, we went on date night and we realized we have to come back with our nieces and nephews tomorrow night. And they enjoyed it twice.
That's so cool. Yeah, you guys are here.
It's one of those rare shows.
Through March 26th. And you said you started out as a magician at the age of five?
I did. I was a kid magician all my life. I've always done magic. That's all I've ever done. And now, I get to be the ringmaster.
Can you make people disappear?
How did that happen?
There's a waiting list for that.
Right. So you were like 5-year-old.
Sheet.
Not you guys.
5-year-old Willie doing card tricks and whatnot, making your parents crazy?
Absolutely, yeah. My mom picked a million cards, believe me. Yeah. Yeah, I actually wanted to run away with the circus when I was a teenager. A circus came to my little town in Ohio, and they saw that I did magic.
Yeah, I've always wanted to ask a magician, too. Now, nowadays with Twitter and Google, and people try to figure out how you do the tricks. That stinks. I mean, there's nothing to the mind anymore.
You're right. That's why I joined the circus.
Run away
don't do
and
magic
do it.
Anymore. No, but you're right. Absolutely right. But you know what? Magic has morphed. I mean, you see these young magicians who create magic just for YouTube and just for social media, these quick little visual effects. So, yeah, we're trying to stay one step ahead of the game.
I think it's fantastic. Yeah. It's going to be a great show. Again, it's Circus 1903. The Golden Age of Circus opens tonight at the Oriental Theater. And David Williamson is Willie the Ringmaster. Did they call you Willie the Ringmaster?
They do. Willie Whipschnade.
Very nice. Well, best of luck. Get out there and see it. Tickets
Thank
are on
so
sale now. BroadwayInChicago.com. And what do you, I asked this one time, do you say break a leg anymore? Is that
I do all the time.
You do? Okay.
Yeah. Don't
so
say
that's
good
okay.
Luck.
You don't say good luck.
No.
And then there's another trick of the theater I learned too. You're never supposed to say the Shakespeare play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't say that.
What do you refer to it as?
Well, you don't say,
I can say it, right? Is it Midsummer Night's Dream? No, you're not allowed to say it. There's a Shakespearean play that you can't say in the theater, but
it
you have to.
It starts with an M.
Oh, Macbeth. I can say it though, Macbeth.
I don't
right?
know.
All right.
Don't
oh God,
it.
I don't want to ruin
tight wire tonight.
God, we've been doing so well, right, Mary?
my brother-in-law and my niece went to the show in Detroit on Saturday. They saw Willie, and they said it was the most incredible thing. She was fascinated by these people, like. There was a teeter totter and three men jumping because it's kind of like the Cirque du Soleil, but right there on the stage in front of you, and there's kid involvement from the audience.
Yeah, we bring kids. I bring kids up on this stage.
Technically,
we do magic trick with them. It's really great.
You picked the kid right next to her, and she was like freaking out that it wasn't her.
Oh no!
But that's okay. She still enjoyed it. So my brother-in-law was actually worried that somebody was going to fall and he was going to have to cover Nora's eyes because.
Oh no!
And Willie said he actually did. Somebody did fall once.
Yeah,
these
people are amazing athletes. He jumped right back, climbed right back up the pole, and got back on the highway.
Yeah, hit the stage and then climbed back up and finished his stuff. So
just like you, Carms.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
did that this
hit the
morning.
Hit the deck,
that's
and
right.
Right back at it.
Climb back up on the pole. That's your motto.
Doing it for life.
I had asked John though because I'm kind of picky. I said I don't just do things for the kids. Like, would it be fun? Is it fun for the adults as well? And he said yes. He was very
Absolutely.
Enamored by the work there. So it's one of those kid and adult-friendly
It's a
productions.
Family show.
You can't miss it. And get out there again. It is Circus 1903, the Golden Age of Circus at the Oriental Theater through March 26th. David, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Break a leg. Back after this on WGN. 9:24 in the morning, 720 WGN. In about 20 minutes, we're going to play the Price is Right game. Andy, Mark, you guys are going to be competing. Mary Sandberg, Royal Comcast Sportsnet, will be your ringmaster as she asks you questions, and you work with listeners to try to win them prizes to see. Andy, you got big shoes to fill here because Carm won yesterday.
Oh, you won yesterday?
So did Annette, but
we both won. Dave actually took notes, as you would expect, and had his own answers written out, and Dave got it right.
Okay.
Props to Dave. I just kind of let... I believe my listener was Maria, I want to say.
You guys were all, you know, you guys needed a room by the time you get done with the game.
I mean, we were just in it together.
And what was her name?
And she led the way, though. Names are not important. It was the connection that we felt. Names change.
That'll last forever.
It's people stay the same, Andrea.
By the way, is Dave Ennett back tomorrow as well?
Dave Ennett is back tomorrow.
Dave Ennett had a scheduled day off.
Dave Ennett is...
The gamers are here, though, right?
We're doing the best we can to step into the big shoes.
Steve Cochran, a little under the weather. He'll be back again tomorrow as well. So, you know, I'm liking this. I'm liking this, the B team here. The A-minus team, because we're A-listers, I would say.
I was going to go like
first time A-minus for me.
And I haven't gotten many Bs in my scholastic career, so I appreciated Bs.
Step it up, A-minus.
Hey, I want to ask you guys real quick. Donald Trump took credit yesterday for Colin Kaepernick still being a free agent. He made some crazy comments. Surprising, I know, Donald Trump at a rally. He said, and you know your San Francisco quarterback? I'm sure nobody ever heard of him. I'm just reporting the news. There was an article today. I love to report the news, and they said I made a mistake. I said, no, the people who are reporting the news made the mistake. If it's wrong, nobody made the mistake. I'm confused already. But there was an article that the NFL owners don't want to pick him up. Is that true?
Well, because they're afraid of a crazy tweet from the president. Yeah, and, you know, it's weird because, you know, I try to stay out of all these political things on Twitter because you just can't win. And it's, you know, what we see as sports guys, we always see the stick to sports, you know, like we're not supposed to know anything else. Just, you know, all we know is sports. But, you know, I would say stick to what you know.
So he is a free agent.
He's a free agent. You know, he caused all that controversy with the kneeling for the national anthem.
Right. Is that hurting his chances of getting picked up?
It might. It might not. He's not, you know, he's been up and down in his career as of late.
His performance.
Yeah, overall, though, I would say he's had a good enough year that somebody should pick him up. You know, when people go at Colin Kaepernick, it bothers me because here's a guy who donated $1 million, has been very active in the community. People say he did it for self-gain. He's gotten hit on every single side, from the African-American community, from as conservative as you want to, that community, the whole, everything. Mm-hmm. So here's, and by the way, he was voted by his teammates. You know, people don't want to pick him up because of the controversy that he would create in the locker room and having to ask questions. He was voted as the Courage Award by a San Francisco 49er teammate. So I hope he gets picked up. What's interesting to me real fast, I mean, the New York Jets, as Andy was saying in sports, they signed Josh McCown.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people thought that Jay Cutler was going to New York.
Yeah.
So
I like Josh McCown.
I don't think he's joining Josh McCown in New York.
No, it's a 1-year deal. It's very incentive laden. There's $6 million guaranteed.
So who gets signed first, Cuddy or Kaepernick?
Ooh, I would say Cutler.
Probably.
I just think Kaepernick, I mean, for me, I mean, you guys are inside. You guys know all the players and you're
so
in the locker
inside.
Rooms. Well, you guys are.
We are.
Your connections? Jeez.
Deep.
I want season tickets to no.
Yeah.
I just does that bother you guys? I mean, that they take political stands like this? Would you rather they just play football or play the sport, or do you not care because, you know, it's kind of like the Meryl Streep thing? Let them say what they want.
I mean,
they're in the spotlight.
See, here's the thing: if you have a platform or you have a stage, I mean, you have a First Amendment right to do it. I mean, whatever you feel is necessary to do. Now, I would say this. I would say as long as it does not detract from what your team is trying to do, and your team is trying to win football games, in his case, or baseball games in other, you know, other cases. I mean, it's just a personal expression, and he has a big stage to...
But did he have a bad year because of this? Did he get distracted?
I don't think so. His decline, I think, started even the year before that with the Niners. He made his first ever start on a Monday night against the Bears and beat him pretty soundly in San Francisco. And it was the talk of the town for quite some time. But I think that... defense has kind of caught up to what he was doing, and he just didn't adjust.
He's also gotten older like the rest of us.
He has.
A lot of his skill set is based on his legs, which are not – he's not as fast as he once was, so that's part of it too.
I kind of took the opinion on this that, you know, play football. Uh-huh. I mean, I liked him as a quarterback. I did. And then this whole national anthem thing happened, and I – kind of didn't like him, for better or for worse. I mean, it was
a lot of people didn't like him. A lot. Yeah. I want – if – I enjoy a well-informed athlete who is willing to use his platform to speak out and try to make the world a better place, however he doesn't. Callen's not perfect. He should have voted. That was a poor choice.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a poor choice. But I still give him credit for standing up and taking a ton of heat and donating money and getting his voice heard. I give him 100% props for that.
You want a fun fact about Colin Kaepernick?
Yes.
He was actually a late draft choice of the Chicago Cubs as a right-handed pitcher out of Nevada.
We can use him now? Oh, no, we don't need him now.
He threw over 90 miles an hour as a pitcher.
We might need
kidding.
Yeah. We might need a fifth starter. We can talk about that another time.
Yeah, so, Big story next on WGN. In the morning, 720 WGN. Bill and Wendy coming in at 10 o'clock. The Steve Cochran Show, Mark Harmon, Andrea Darlis. We are here with you till 10. Steve's back tomorrow. Andy Mazur's here taking care of the sports duties. Okay, so we are going to be giving away a pair of tickets to see The Price is Right. This has been a highly successful game all week long, Andy.
Okay, I hope I don't put a damper on it.
No, I don't think you will. We need a caller, 312-981-7200. You can win a pair of tickets to The Price is Right Live. They're playing two shows, November 11th and 12th, at the Rosemont Theater. It's the hit interactive stage show that gives eligible individuals the chance to come on down and play classic games from TV's longest-running and most popular game show.
Speak to the pressure that you feel right now, Andy.
I'm feeling like I just got called to come on down, and I just got overbid by $1 by somebody to my left.
What was your favorite Price is Right game?
Well, I'm old school here. I mean, I really enjoy Cliffhanger because the yodeling with the cliffhanger guy going off the top. And my brother and I used to root for it to happen because, we didn't want to root against the contestant, but we wanted to see the guy fall.
Fall off the cliff?
Yeah, it was funny.
And down to the floor?
Yeah.
I like Plinko. I know Mary Vanderbilt likes Plinko. That's a
fun
game.
Plinko.
What do you like, Marky?
Hold on a second. I feel the need to Google all Price is Right games because...
What do you want? Bullseye? You want Grocery Game? You want
Checkout?
The yodeling
game.
Bullseye was solid.
Yeah. Oh, man, that was a good game, too.
I mean, I got
Temptation, maybe.
I liked the Dice. Dice game wasn't bad. I liked the hole-in-one. I liked
when Bob would
putt. Or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would always have to putt it. Yeah, Samberg liked that one, too, because it was a golf one, right?
Yeah. Clock game was amazing.
Oh, clock game.
Oh, I forgot the clock game.
That was a tough one.
See, that's why I looked this up, guys.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
We're not going to play over or under. Mary Sandberg Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet, executive producer of the program, has put together this game. It's been highly successful, Andy. Okay. The ratings are off the charts for this game. It might be a spinoff. Sandberg might be leaving for the networks to go.
You might just spin me off if it doesn't work then.
All right, what we're going to do, we have our caller. We're going to...
We're going to let Judy pick
if
she wants to play with Mark or Andy.
Okay, that sounds good. Hey, Judy, how are you?
Judy.
Good, how are you?
You a fan of The Price is Right?
I am.
Okay, good. We're going to give you a chance to win tickets. This is a fun game. You have to pick if you want to work with Andy Mazur or Mark Carmen. Both wonderful sports guys, great looking, great personalities, but it's all up to you, Judy. Who do you want as your lifeline for this game?
Okay, let's go with Andy.
All right,
Judy.
Andy.
Oh, pressure.
Mark's highly disappointed. It's okay because Mark played yesterday and won, so yeah. you got big shoes to fill. All right, Sandberg's going to take over here and explain the rules
and
what you have to do.
Huge mistake,
Judy. I think so, too.
All right, Mary, it's all you.
So you're going to be playing high-low. You're
going
to get 6 grocery items. And you have to tell me which ones are the 3 highest, Judy. And Andy can help you.
Okay.
And if you're right, Judy's going to go see The Price is Right. And if you're wrong, Judy's not going to go see The Price is Right.
Yeah, no pressure,
no,
Andy.
No pressure at
Don't
all.
Disappoint her. Don't disappoint another woman.
Last chance to switch, Judy.
Won't be the first time. Won't be the last, I'm sure.
You ready, Judy?
I'm ready.
Okay.
All right, here's your first item. The Minute Maid Lemonade Fruit Drink. A 59-ounce bottle.
Too much sugar.
Mark.
It's too much sugar.
Okay.
All right. The second item is black pepper pure ground.
Ooh.
A container of ground, already ground black pepper. 6-ounce can.
Curveball.
Pepper. I love your color commentary on her food items.
Who buys pepper? No one knows the price of pepper.
I do. This is my cart, actually,
pepper
from Peapa. It is.
Is this your cart? Is
yeah.
This
Pepperidge Farm Brussels cookies.
Ooh.
5 1/4-ounce bag.
That's a one bag, one serving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Lysol disinfectant wipes, lemon and lime blossom scent. 80-count package.
That's so Sandberg.
Boy, that is. But I buy those. Okay.
OxyClean Max Force Spray Laundry Stain Remover. A 12-ounce package.
This is tough, Mary. You're mixing in the food and the laundry products
man.
Now.
Two things cleaning. I don't know anything about.
Reynolds Parchment Paper. It's cooking paper with 15-inch wide, 45 square feet. I use that every single day.
For what?
I reheat. Well, I bake. I reheat. I cook my salmon on it in the oven. I reheat pizza on it. I line my trays.
Just put it on the tray. You don't need the parchment.
Sandberg got tough because we had themes the other day, like fruit. Now she's kind of mixing everything in together.
Flintstone gummies, complete children's multivitamin supplement, 70-count bottle.
Oh, those are...
Mary is so upper level, it's frightening.
Are they gummy?
These are the gummies.
Gummies.
Flintstone gummies.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So you got everything,
so
Andy?
Judy, maybe will say what she thinks, and then Andy, you can...
So we're looking for that three highest prices? Yes. Okay.
All right, Judy, what do you think? Three highest.
Okay. Well, I wish I would have wrote these down. How about the white things? What were those?
Oh, yeah, the Lysol wipes,
Lysol
the
wipes.
80-count wipes of Lysol.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think those. Andy, jump in anytime.
I would say that the 70 count Flintstone gummies vitamins are probably pretty expensive.
Good call.
I don't say that. Okay. Yeah.
And this is where I kind of hit the wall here. Got the 59-ounce Minute Maid, the 6-ounce black pepper already ground, and the Pepperidge Farm cookies, the OxyClean 12-ounce.
Okay, pick it.
I wish I could help.
God. I'm just reminding her, Judy, because she didn't write them down.
Let's go. Thank you, Andy. Let's go with that first one.
The Minute Maid juice?
Sugar. Yeah.
Okay. So we're going Minute Maid juice, Lysol wipes, and Flintstones.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
Andy, blaming you solely for this.
Why would you blame me?
Because you wrote them down for Judy.
What doesn't make any sense is Judy pointed out that pepper was expensive,
yet didn't go
with the pepper.
Oh. So if you worked with me, Judy, I would have pointed out to stick with your intuition. I didn't hear Andy do that.
So it was the pepper?
It was the pepper, and the parchment paper is also more expensive.
Parchment. Yeah, I have no idea what that is.
Judy, I feel bad. Andy misled you. You're going to win anyway.
Really?
Yes, you are going to win anyway. You get stuck with Andy.
Yeah, it's a handicap thing. You know what I mean? It's like in the golf. You know, you get the handicap. You get two free answers.
Exactly. Andy's like a 25 handicap,
exactly.
And you would be probably a 2, which is good. So we're going to give you the tickets.
Thank goodness. I feel better now.
Gosh, thank you.
Oh, see?
Judy, excellent. Come on down.
Don't ever make that mistake again,
down.
Judy.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah. Sorry, Mark.
Yeah, Judy couldn't see. I was pointing to Mark when you were making your choice.
Okay,
I was pointing
Judy.
To Mark.
Right. Hey, Judy, thanks. Congratulations. You are going to win the tickets. Hold on the line, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, again, it's The Price is Right Live playing 2 shows November 11th at the Rosemont Theater. Tickets on sale now. Not for Judy because she gets free tickets. At Ticketmaster, I say you owe me so
thanks
bad.
Thanks for the bailout, man. That's impressive.
Coffee.
Mazur's legit sweating right now.
I'm telling you. You know what? There's a lot on the line there because this is a cool show, and I don't want Judy to miss out because I don't know my way around the grocery store.
She is going, and if you want tickets, you can get them at Ticketmaster.com and the Rosemont Theater box office.
Me and you today, Annie, going to Jewel. We're just going to walk
Let's
the
go.
Aisles
I'm going to learn some prices.
Boy, we got a video. We have to shoot that. That's funny.
Well, that would be interesting.
You two grocery shopping?
You wouldn't want to see what I buy. Yeah, I was given advice a long time ago that you should shop on the outer portions of the grocery store and not shop the inner because all the natural and all the good stuff is like at the deli, at the meat counter.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing.
And you're not supposed to shop when you're hungry.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
That's what they say too. So don't go like right before dinner.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
I want to be a fly on that shopping cart with you two shopping.
Oh, it would be an international incident.
I can't believe Mary uses parchment paper. That's amazing.
I don't even know what that is, to be honest with you.
We have more of this coming up. 720 WGN. WGN, it's the Steve Cochran Show. Mark Harmon, Andrea Darlis, Andy Mazur, Mary Vandeveld here, Brian Burrow in news, Mike Jacobson, and Mary Sandberg Boyle producing the program. So we do a couple more minutes till Bill and Wendy get here, but we kind of use this time to, I don't want to talk about stupid people, but pretty much use this time to talk about stupid people. No, this is a story. We cover insane stories in the news. You guys cover some insane stories in sports. Mm-hmm. This is this definitely goes under the stupid criminal file. We need Steve Cochran to reopen stupid camp because it was filling up. He bought out two parcels of property in North and South Dakota. We're just calling it Dakota.
Nice.
We haven't had a new inductee into stupid camp for a while, but this guy certainly qualifies.
Yeah, gentleman, he's in his...
I wouldn't say gentleman, but well, yeah.
How about a man?
Individual.
There we go. He's in his mid-40s. So he walked into the First American Bank, 33 West Monroe, 2:10 on p.m. in the afternooner.
Yesterday. So it was like Dearborn and Monroe, kind of, right?
Right. Robbed the bank, which is a bold move, and then proceeded for the getaway. He was caught on a CTA bus because there was a device hidden in the cash, and then, you know, they were tracking him, and the dude was on the bus.
He robs the bank, and then he takes the bus.
Is that amazing? See, haven't you ever, like, secretly, you can admit it, no one's listening, that you always sort of, like, wanted to rob a bank?
No.
And just get away. No? You never thought
Have you?
Robbing, yeah, of course.
You've thought about robbing a bank?
You see all the money back there? You want the money, so you know, I'm not going to rob the bank, but I think that's a natural human instinct to want to take all the money and run out.
Let me tell you something about Mark Carman. When I went out, do you remember a couple months ago when I went out to the White House and I'm doing the.
Yeah.
I told Burrow to steal. You're telling me to steal things from the White House.
What is wrong with you?
He's like, oh, just get me some silverware.
Take a painting off the wall.
Take an ashtray. Get me some royal toilet paper.
Roll up some carpeting.
I think that's how Chester Arthur got him.
Yeah, right. No, kidding. You can't take stuff from the White House.
Why not?
You can't take stuff, period.
It's government property.
It's people's stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah, Ryan. There it is.
I support anybody going to the White House, tax-paying person who wants to take a little souvenir
This is why your Secret Service file is so large.
Right. This is why they get a trace on the guy.
That's why that dark SUV is pulling up the studio window.
Yeah.
And this is why he hears clicks every time he talks on his cell phone.
Hello? My headset's not working.
Yeah, but see, you guys are just not talking about natural human desires. Like, if you go into the bank, of course you want to go out and leave the bank with the money.
I need to follow this train of thought, though. All right, so go back to... You've always wanted to rob a bank. Go back to that part.
So then, then you imagine in your bank robbing, you come out, there's your buddy, he's got the car, you zoom off, next thing you know, you're in Mexico, you're on the beach, and you're drinking tequila, and you're living the life of the stolen bank robber dude who never gets caught. Not the guy who gets on the bus and goes CTA fare out of the back pocket, and then just chilling in the back, you know, pulling the cord, I'm going to get off at 57th Street. I mean, come on, that's wild.
I'm sure the guy who swiped the Tom Brady jerseys was also thinking he'd be on a beach somewhere right now. I don't think that's going to be the case.
Yeah, right. See? Building the wall might have helped there.
See, enough with the whole reality that you're going to get caught and go to jail thing, Burrow. It's the fantasy that we're talking about here.
I'm still back on you robbing banks.
Well,
the White House.
What
kind of a disguise would you wear, Carmen? Let's hear it.
I'd go, you know.
He'd dress as Ronnie Woo.
He'd go old school. He'd put like the nylon over his head.
We got to start checking the office supplies, too, when he leaves for the day. I mean, he might have like a Lotus WGN staplers at home something.
He's got all the copier paper. He's got pens.
Well, normally, you know, on the weekends, I do walk in upper management's office and I get a Reese's peanut butter cup, but I always out myself and I text, say, hey, just had a Reese's peanut butter cup. Thanks.
That's a little different than robbing a bank or stealing from the White House.
Right,
man.
But we're, you know, next one thing's Reese's peanut butter cup, next thing robbing a bank. You don't know how quick the leap can happen.
One thing leads to another, right, Ryan?
It starts small, you know? It starts with little penny candy and all of a sudden you're, you know, stealing the Mona Lisa.
I am being reminded now as we're thinking about it, like, what have I stolen? I go back to, like, old Chicago Stadium, the last days of Chicago Stadium.
Yeah. What'd you steal from there?
Oh, like, light bulbs that I, like, ripped out of a little piece of the carpet.
Light bulb?
Reinsdorf is listening.
Oh,
right
I
now,
hope so, too.
Writing all of this down.
Well, me too.
Your credential
press
statute of limitations.
Gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy.
It was
insights into Mark Carman. Hey, glad you were here.
That's 1994, right?
Hey, thanks for coming. We won't see you tomorrow. No, we're just kidding. But props to, you know, it's a crazy story. Props to the Chicago Police Department because they caught this guy within like an hour.
We had to track him down on the CTA bus.
There you go. Yeah,
take an Uber next
now
time.
He's in jail.
Yeah, at least go Uber.
Yeah, like that commercial. There's a commercial like that.
You guys kill me. 720 WGN.